The 57th Annual Grammy Awards air this Sunday night at 8 on CBS. One of the bands that's going to be sweating it out in the crowd, waiting to find out if they win a Grammy, is Cage the Elephant. We got a couple of guys from the band in studio with us. Right now, I think Matt is here. Jared is here. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
How are you?
And the rest of the guys are down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space, where you'll be performing later. Who's sick? I understand you guys are down a man.
Brad, he caught some kind of stomach bug thing or something.
Matt's
like that.
Brother is sick.
Yeah, that's going around.
You can't come back from that, man, these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's done. It's going around.
It's a death sentence.
Should have got vaccinated.
You didn't take him to Disneyland, did you? Because everyone's getting sick going to Disneyland these days.
Yeah, I actually did.
Crap. There it is.
See?
There it is.
That's how it goes.
All right, listen, I mentioned the Grammys. You guys are professionals. You're on your third album. You've been around for, you know, how long? 10 years, whatever it's been you've been playing together. But it's got to be like a dream come true when the phone rings or however you find out that you've been nominated for a freaking Grammy. Tell me about that day for you guys.
I was actually sleeping in my bunk, and our bass player came in and pulled up in my curtain and woke me up and was like, dude, we're nominated for a Grammy. And I thought he was joking with me, so. But he wasn't, and it's pretty cool. I don't know. Actually, I'm just trying to keep my focus so that I don't cry, you know, in any scenario. At
please
the Grammys,
cry. You know? I would love it if you would cry. That would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, you know, like, the odds are that you don't win a Grammy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just the odds. And so you don't want to cry if you don't win, because that's even worse, you know? Like, at the Super Bowl, you see a couple players that when they lost, they're like, you can tell they're convincing themselves not to cry.
Here's what you should do, though, is if you don't win, if they announce somebody else, you should stand up and storm out.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Go up and accept it anyway.
Oh, good.
like in Zoolander.
Yeah. Hey, guys. You know, you're right, because 80% of the people in every category are losers. I mean, that's
exactly.
The,
that's what I'm saying. The odds are against you.
Now, let me ask you about this, and forgive me if this is too deep a question for this hour of the day, but are you comfortable with music being judged like this? Like, is it fair for somebody to say that your album is better or worse than Jack White's album or Arcade Fire album, or is it kind of a ridiculous premise to begin with?
I feel like if it was a majority of people in America actually voting on it, then it's probably fair.
Right.
You know, yeah, if there's a poll.
If there,
yeah.
You know, as long as it's not like 12 people around a table, like, all right, who's the best, you know? If it was the majority of America, then I think it might be a little bit
What if you, like, campaigned for it, though? Like, you went out and handed out suckers or whatever, knocked on doors.
Do
like,
people hand out
really,
suckers?
Yeah, I really want you guys to, like, believe in our album.
Yeah, we got people standing on street corners with signs.
It's definitely an honor to be nominated. You know, when you first start making music, I don't think it's something at the forefront of your mind to, like, gain accolades or acknowledgments or whatever. You know, when you first start writing music, it's to kind of to express some of the inexpressible feelings that, you know, are in the human heart and
all
that
stuff.
Yeah, and that too.
Well, you still have those childhood dreams of, like, you know, making Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, winning a Grammy. when you're starting up in the basement, you have those thoughts.
It's funny because I don't know that's true for everybody. I think
it wasn't for me, honestly.
I think, like, that's so far removed from where you probably are starting at that moment.
Oh yeah, but it's one of those dreams.
Crazy, right?
When it does happen, you're like, oh my god, you know, 10 years later.
Well, Matt said, no.
I'm like, man, I just wanted to, like, you know, write music and find escape. And Jerry's like, man, I'm trying to be famous.
Matt's lying. We've been playing together for 16 years, and we've had many conversations when we were teenagers about being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, dude.
Winning a Grammy.
Whatever. There was one time where we were at CeCe's Pizza, and we just played a show. Actually, it was like a high school
Battle of the Bands.
Yeah. And we had came in, like, second place amateur level.
So we won the amateur level.
Okay, so there was our high school had a pro level and an amateur level, and we won the amateur level. And we were eating pizza, and these girls walked by and looked at us, and we're like, they're looking at us because they know our band.
Yeah.
That's what everybody.
They were probably like, oh, that pizza looks good. And maybe grab a
sauce. We are talking with the guys in Cage the Elephant here. They'll be performing live in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, congratulations. Your song, Sarah, Daydreams, is number one on the National Alternative Airplay chart right now, which is awesome. I'm going to applaud
you.
We all support you on that, too. You're also appearing on the Conan Show tonight. While I'm on that mindset here of doing all the TV shows and the interviews and the traveling and the bills that you've played on, has there anyone that you've met in your travels who you have been starstruck by, like you just couldn't believe you were in the same location as fill in the blank Paul McCartney, whoever it was?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, you remember
Adam Sandler.
When we first met him, I introduced myself to him as Cage the Elephant, and he didn't know our band, so he thought it was like some stage name like Dragon. He was like, "Nice to meet you, Cage the Elephant." I was like, "Oh no, no, that's my band." Blah blah blah. But he's really cool. He ended up sticking around and checking it out. It was on Letterman.
Plus, he's like exactly in real life. He is how he is in his film. So it's like, oh my God, it's Billy Madison.
He really does wear. You feel like he wears his own clothes in his movies, don't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It looks exactly the same. Plus, I've seen so many of his movies and stuff. When you see his face, it's like one of those.
I think I was that way about Dave Grohl too, though. When I met him.
Yeah, I can imagine. If you're in music, Dave Grohl's got to be.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's going on the K-Rock Mount Rushmore of all time. I mean, he's just
he's amazing,
incredible.
Dude.
So, all right, so Conan tonight, and then you hop in the van and you head down to the observatory in Santa Ana. You're performing down there. That show is sold out.
Are you still in a van? Because Bean said you hop in a van.
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe it's a luxurious van.
Yeah, it's a really nice van.
It's got bottles of water.
Right. It's got mirrored ceilings. And
oh, sweet.
Yeah.
A disco and then ball. Tomorrow Red and Friday, you're going to be playing two more sold-out shows. That's at the Tower Theater in downtown L.A. Those shows are also sold out. So it's been a while since you've been here in Southern California. It sounds like people missed you.
Well, we missed them, too, so that's why we're doing this.
Your album came out a year ago December?
October.
A year ago October.
Yes.
So is it bizarre to be thinking about getting an award for it now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's...
The way the album process goes, too, you know, you spend a year promoting it, so I'm just glad we released it in time to be nominated.
Right, exactly. Well, we are going to be pulling for you.
It was all part of the strategy.
That's good strategy.
Yeah.
We're going to be pulling for you this Sunday night on CBS on the Grammys. I hope they'll at least show you in the crowd, right? At a minimum.
Totally.
So if you don't win, at least you get to be on
TV,
right?
Unless you're doing something like picking your nose or something, then you don't want to be shown in the crowd.
Although Jared wants to accept it, so.
Yeah. I'm just going to accept
Storm
every award.
Storm the stage. I like it.
It doesn't matter what category.
Best female pop.
Yes.
Dude, you could totally take Ariana Grande. Seriously, you could knock her down and grab that Grammy.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to.
Well, listen, we love you guys. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're so glad you stopped by today. And we're going to walk down the hall, if that's okay, to the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space and hear a little live music. How's that sound?
That's sounds awesome. We're going to run down the hall.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll be right behind you after this on K-Rock. We are down the hall from the main studio in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock with the band Cage the Elephant in town, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, for a whole bunch of sold-out shows in Santa Ana and in downtown L.A. They are nominated for a Grammy this weekend, so good luck, guys. Kevin, what are you seeing? What are you doing?
I'm in the Red Bull Sound Space with Cage the Elephant, and I believe I'm going to perform with them. Is that right?
Yeah. All right. I will look forward to hearing that.
Actually, I was just going to dance on the side.
All right. Good enough. You guys are going to perform live a couple songs here?
Yes.
What do you got for us first?
Cigarette Daydreams. Did you stand there all along? Oh, I cannot explain what's going down. I could see you standing next to me. In and out, somewhere else right now. You sigh, look away. I can see it clear as day. Close your eyes, so afraid. Hide behind that baby face. Do, 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 do. Like yesterday, as I recall, you were looking out of place. Gathered up your things and slipped away. No time at all, I followed you into the hall. Cigarette, daydream. You were only 17, so sweet with the mean streak. You can try. You can drive all night looking for the answers in the pouring rain. I wanna find peace of mind.
Come on with the come on with that with Cage the Elephant, right?
Pretty strong.
Kind of caught me by surprise with that ending, you guys. That is Cage the Elephant live at the Red Bull Sound Space from their latest album called Melophobia. That is outstanding, outstanding stuff. That's why you're nominated for a Grammy, man. Hey, glad you guys are here. Have fun while you're in Southern California. Enjoy the big show. We got time for one more if you wouldn't mind honoring us with that.
Cool. This is Come a Little Closer.
Two for two, you guys. Two for two.
Be watching Sunday night. Best alternative album. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for performing live. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't think this is necessary at all, Ralph, what you're about to do.
It's the march to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, oh, you got to get some echo on that.
I asked for it before we started the segment, but once again, the Hall of Fame quality of broadcasting that it is, I was let down.
Here's what I'm saying, Ralph, is when they give an honorary award, a lifetime achievement award, say, at the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
they don't look for that actor's worst ever performances and edited together in a montage. They forget about that, and they just spotlight the good stuff. I feel like you're going the opposite way for us.
What? I would beg to differ.
I don't think he's the reverb now. No, just...
I'm saying that you guys are rightly... headed into the Hall of Fame at the National Association of Broadcasters tomorrow. The Hall of Fame acceptance and ceremony will be held, and I think it's well deserved. And I think these are just 10 examples of how, throughout the years, you guys have all done exemplary work.
I doubt your sincerity, but I'm willing to listen.
You deserve this accolade as we take the march to the Hall of Fame.
There it is.
There we go. Let's start with number 10. Well, this is just before the legendary Kevin and Bean underwater show. This is a show where Kevin and Bean put on scuba suits and went underwater and broadcast their radio show from underwater.
Which was... off the coast of Catalina. I think it would have been probably around 1991, maybe? 92, maybe?
Yes.
Which was 99% just the sound of us breathing.
Yes. In lieu of content, Kevin and Bean used to try to come up with the wackiest stunt they could, and this one was them doing a show underwater, mm-hmm. which really offered nothing of value other than hearing them breathe and a very annoying echoey sound. But before they went underwater, they talked to James Cameron, the director of the movie The Abyss, because, and I can only assume, The Abyss also takes place underwater. There's the connection.
If I had to guess, because I don't remember, you're probably right about that, yeah.
Here's the interview.
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Now, are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting. We're standing here right now. We've got our wetsuits on. We've got our weight belts on. We've got harnesses on for tanks. We've got our booties on, and I wish we could come up with a more masculine name for these little shoes that we have to wear.
Yeah, they're booties.
And I guess we're going through what your actors and actresses went through making that movie every day. I mean, it's an all-day job just getting set to do something, isn't it?
Well, you know, we used to say, life's abyss, then you dive.
Thank you.
Wow.
We're going through what your actors probably went through when they made their movie, because it takes a long time to put these suits on. That was on the radio.
Especially these little shoes.
These booties.
I'm not defending the question at all, but how great of James Cameron to waste his time talking to us.
He regretted it immediately upon getting on the phone.
You know, that's true of most people.
The interviews of the Kevin and Bean show throughout the years really are remarkable, and the quality has always been high. I use this example, number 9, in the March to the Hall of Fame of the interview with Al the Bedspread King. Al Greenwood, the king of bedspreads. Al apparently would run ads in the Sunday LA Times where he would also give some opinions about the current day's events. And in this particular case, he was upset with the little sports cars, how they drove on the freeway. And Kevin and Bean, once again, I think in lieu of anything else to do on the radio, decided to call him up and see what his problem was with sports cars. So here's their edgy interview with Al Greenwood, the king of bedspreads.
Al Greenwood?
Hello, Al. This is Kevin and Bean.
I can hear you, but you're not very strong. I don't know. What's the matter?
Oh, I think...
You want me to call you?
Can we just ask you a couple of questions?
Yeah.
Al, you own a carpet store? Is that right?
Can you hold on a second?
No, we
just
have a bed...
He's Al Greenwood, the king of bedspreads.
Right.
So Bean asks him, so Al, you own a carpet store there, do you? Do you own a carpet store? Al, the king of bedspreads? Is it a carpet store that you own?
Could I have been kidding?
I don't believe so.
I mean, I think technically it's possible.
Sure, of course. I guess anything is possible.
Yeah. Can I continue?
Yeah, please do.
No, we have a bedspread store, the largest bedspread store in the whole United States.
And we were going through the Los Angeles Times, and we saw your ad.
About the cars?
Yeah, can you explain to us what the heck that means and how it has to do anything
with... You know, we got such a bad connection. Can I call you back? Maybe we'll have a better connection.
It goes on talking about the connection for another hour and a half, 2 hours, it feels like. I'm not sure exactly in real time.
I feel like that still happens.
But Kevin pulled out a bullhorn. It was a very funny bullhorn segment happened there during that.
We used the bullhorn a lot, didn't we?
Well, you sure did. And that's why you are on the March to the Hall of Fame. Because you talked to a guy who owned a bedspread store.
But that's it. That's
and had a poor connection with him. But you had used a bullhorn and talked loudly to him for an extended period of time.
Is that only 2 of 10?
Then there was an ongoing segment where Bean would go on his crappy vacations, and we know how crappy his vacations were. But when he came back from those crappy vacations, they would do the hilarious Bean slideshow where they would pretend to watch slides on the radio, and you, the fine listener, would not be able to see the slides because that's a visual thing. So they would describe what the slides were. Please enjoy Bean's trip to Idaho.
All right. Go ahead. First slide, cows. A lot of cows in Idaho. I took pictures of most of them, but I'm only going to show you some of the better ones.
Those are cows.
A lot of cows.
All right, let's go to
these are all way out of order now from the last slideshow, by the way. Welcome to Blackfoot, the potato capital of the world.
Oh. Yeah.
There's a little sign there with a spud with a crown on it.
It's a sign with a potato with a crown.
Now, this is outside the Idaho Potato Expo. That's Donna and me in front of the world's largest cement potato.
What kind of a category is that?
World's largest cement potato. Notice it's got sour cream on the top of it.
Very nice touch.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
There's Kevin and Bean along with Jenny McCarthy, the Playmate of the Year.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a photo right there, everybody.
Now we're talking.
Now we're getting somewhere. That's from last week.
Stacy, this one's for you. That's actually Donna, my wife and I, in front of the world's largest potato chip inside the museum. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, it's not really. It's about the size of a medium pizza, so how impressive can that be?
What's your point, on the radio.
What's your point? What are you trying
What's
to say?
My point? What's my point? You have the balls
the message
to ask me what my point is. I would, in fact, turn that question around, sir, and ask you if you could please inform all of us what your point was.
Just trying to share some vacation fun, I guess, probably.
Allie, you joined this show way too late.
I don't think so.
It's the march to the Hall of Fame. How about the time Kevin and Bean took us behind the iron curtain of hot dog on a stick and taught us how one works and learns how to work at hot dog on a stick? Haven't you always wondered? No, of course you haven't, but you got it anyway.
You can start cutting some lemons over
here. These are white trash cans.
Kevin, I'll actually do the recording. You do the actual cutting.
Oh, absolutely. How do I do this now? Come over here. I'm sorry, I'm not in the right position.
This booth is about 6x9, and there's you and me and 8 women.
Right? Oh, wow. Like this?
Yeah. These are
special. Come on, everybody.
Look at that. He did one.
This one? Hey,
My good friend Kevin.
What?
You and the girls look like you're doing some sort of weird satanic date.
Use that last word. I don't care what Hall of Famer, and you can't say that on the radio.
But it needed to be said, right?
You were cutting lemons to make lemonade for hot dog on a stick. But you know what was really good radio, I think, is just the fact that everyone was screaming and yelling things at the same time. That's what made it fun for the listener.
All right, we're out of time.
No, we're not.
We are. We actually have to take a break.
You went to we got 6 more.
Okay,
we'll do one more, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with the top 5.
All right.
Most people went to Indio this past weekend for Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Bean went to Indio to bring you, the fine listener, the story of Shields Date Garden, the biggest date farm in Indio, and the story of the movie that shows you how dates are made.
You making this up?
You think I'm kidding.
I hope you're kidding.
I am not. You interviewed the owner of a date farm in Indio and then sat in the theater watching the movie about dates, microphoning the film itself, making commentary about dates.
The date is perhaps the oldest known cultivated tree crop and one of the least written about and the least understood of all fruits produced.
Wonder why that is.
It flourished throughout the ages from northwest India through southwest Asia and across northern Africa.
We're looking at a slide of a field.
The commercial date came to our desert from these faraway lands a little over 50 years ago.
A
looking at that same slide.
Of the 119 kinds of dates grown in Shields Date Gardens, only one variety was imported from the Old World.
Change the slide.
The other 118 kinds were originated here in the Shields Date Gardens. And in all that time, I've never been able to get up in the morning and say, thank goodness, we have nothing to do today. 25 of the palms around this building are original importations from Algeria. Our original date garden can be seen just beyond one of our grapefruit and tangerine plantings.
Focus!
It may interest you to know that this date sells for 5 cents each, one to a customer.
Why, is there going to be a rush?
To point up its delicious goodness.
Hey, where's the sex part?
Here's what I'll say about that. That's an interminable clip. How long was the actual?
Four, five times the length of that.
How
easily,
is that possible? Easily. That was an hour.
Do you not remember any of this, Kevin?
I remember vaguely some of it.
You sat in a movie theater at a date farm critiquing the movie about the history of dates and then aired that on the radio.
How do they keep inviting us back to do more shows?
I can only imagine there were only two stations in Los Angeles when this was going on.
Look.
When we return, we will continue on.
Oops.
The march to the, no, to the Hall of Fame.
Look, here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Most morning shows start in other markets and work all of this bad crap out. In smaller markets where no one cares.
I see.
Before they
move to Los Angeles and are good.
They hired us here when hadn't even had a show yet, so we were learning here.
I understand, but you had heard radio before, right? If you hadn't done it, you had heard radio. You understand how sound works, right? That much was established. You had heard other people do radio. You weren't raised by indigenous people in a forest somewhere. You've heard of radio at this point.
I'm going to go drop in a forest.
I think part of it also, and if you're just joining us, by the way, Ralph is mocking us.
I'm not.
You're mocking.
To the Hall of Fame. Right.
Tomorrow we get inducted into the Hall of Fame in Las Vegas. And Ralph is, I think, presenting a fairly strong case that that award is a mistake.
I am not at all saying you guys deserve every bit of it because this is innovative stuff.
Let me also throw this out. And I don't know if this holds any water or not. But we were also trying to do something different from the shows they were on at that time. That was the era of Rick Dees and of Jay Thomas and Mark and Brian and people like that who were doing one kind of show. And I think we were just trying to zag a little bit. I think that was where we were headed.
So they were doing entertainment.
That's right. They were doing popular things that got them ratings.
They were doing things that people enjoyed. And you said, we're going to sit in a movie theater and watch a movie about dates and then comment on a movie that you can't see.
Exactly.
That's what you did. Well, that's why you're going into the Hall of Fame.
Where are we on this this terrible list of top ten?
Well, once again, this must be a zag to someone else's zig. When you for Halloween, you guys created an original episode of Scooby-Doo featuring the voices of Casey Kasem as Shaggy and Dawes Butler, I guess, as Scooby-Doo himself.
Now, that sounds pretty ambitious and potentially good.
It is ambitious.
It is very ambitious. Sadly, though, you two have to act in it.
Yeah.
And so, well, I'll let the clip speak for itself.
Hey, look, Kevin, it's TV's Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, Hanna-Barbera's cartoon legends.
Excuse me, sir, like our wheels just broke down and we were wondering if we could use your phone and, maybe get some food?
Sure, guys, come on in.
Hey, like, this is a groovy pad. Do you guys live here?
No, we don't. It's Halloween, you see, and we're here because we hear that this castle is haunted.
We heard that on Halloween, every year, a retired sea captain who used to live here comes back from the dead.
He died 30 years ago, and no one has ever lived here since.
Good story, Wayne.
Not really.
I think we did that in front of a movie theater.
No, I think it was the Jetsons, when you did the Jetsons episode.
Okay.
I didn't have time for everything, of all the clips I should be playing. So there was a Scooby-Doo episode and a Jetsons episode. I had to go with Scooby-Doo.
But the Jetsons was probably better.
It was worse, but I tried to give you the benefit of the doubt by playing the Scooby-Doo, because we had played the Jetsons
before. But we don't
get
any kind of credit for doing a Scooby-Doo episode with the great Casey Kasem, though? No, that's pretty
They sounded pretty great. Casey Kasem sounded great.
Yeah, we sound pretty bad.
All right.
There was another ongoing segment back in the day on the Kevin and Bean Show called Celebrity Refrigerator, where Kevin and Bean would go to celebrities' homes and look through their refrigerators. But at least they got the best of the best. It was the highest caliber of celebrity. Like this sample, Phyllis Diller. Comedian Phyllis Diller was paid a visit by Kevin and Bean, and they got a chance to go into her red kitchen and her red refrigerator and see what she had inside.
Kind of a big
this
moment.
This is a big moment. We're opening it up, aren't we?
It's bright red.
Okay. Chili with beans, chili without beans.
Your name is right on there.
Well, my picture, too. And sometimes it keeps people from buying it.
Well.
But it's marvelous chili. It's in the stores here and in the Carolinas.
What would we have to do to talk you into a couple of cans of that that we could give away on the air?
Oh, absolutely. You got it.
Really?
Absolutely.
Great.
Super. You got it.
We'll give away Phyllis Diller's chili. Yes.
You guys were able to give away Phyllis Diller chili on the air?
Was everybody able to do that?
Did the phone banks just explode with people desperate to get a can of Phyllis Diller chili?
I wish I remembered any of this stuff ever happening before, Ralph.
We've interviewed so many people who are now dead, by the way.
Yeah. Phyllis Diller, by the way, I believe she was dead when you interviewed her.
That could be.
Before, that's what I'm noticing about these clips is how many dead people are involved in them. Wow.
Speaking of dead people, when the rest of the world was mourning the fact that sainted lady Mother Teresa was on her deathbed, mm-hmm. she, of course, one of the great...
Champions of the poor,
but also in terms of healing the sick and administering to the lepers. I mean, she was a woman of unique spiritual capacity. So Kevin and Bean took it upon themselves to call the convalescent home in Calcutta where she was dying.
Oh, no.
And proceed to mock the fact that she was on her deathbed and ask if they could send her some Kevin and Bean gravy.
Oh, no. I remember Kevin being gravy.
Do you remember calling the convalescent home where she was on a respirator with her heart failing and you asking if you could send her some gravy because that might cheer her up? Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa, by the way.
No, I don't.
You know who Mother Teresa is, though, right?
Yeah.
You know what she accomplished in her lifetime. Yeah. You think she deserved a couple chuckleheads calling her up at the hospital to see if she wanted some gravy?
How do you know? Maybe she wanted
Hall
baby.
Of fame. Here's the clip.
All right. Woodlands Nursing Home, Calcutta. This also will double as a birthday gift for her.
Imagine being the doctor.
Hello, Woodlands.
Hello, is this the Woodlands Hello? Nursing... Hello? Is this the Hello? Woodlands Nursing Home in Calcutta?
Calcutta, yes.
Yes. Do you speak English?
Yes.
Great. We are calling from America. How are you?
Hello.
Yes. Is it possible to...
Yes, you want to know the condition of mother?
Yes.
Yes.
Please hold on. I give the line to the reception.
All right. Thank you very much.
They have a special Mother Teresa hotline.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
I called her 1-900-SEX-LINE once. Not that good.
Please hold on.
Hello?
Hello. Yes. Do you speak English?
Yes.
We're calling from America. How is Mother Teresa? Uh-huh. How is Mother Teresa?
Mother Teresa is fully conscious today.
Great.
She's being... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, we're here.
She's being intermittent. Hello?
Yes, we are here. Go ahead. Is it possible to send anything to her?
Pardon?
We would like to send her some Kevin and Bean gravy.
Just a minute.
Would she enjoy gravy?
Yeah, she was on a ventilator, by the way. And,
No.
Her heart was being regulated by paddles that they were using.
I know Ralph is great at voices, but he doctors up these tapes to sound just like us.
Now that was for real. But at least it had the classic Kevin and Bean touch of you guys screaming at someone in a foreign country
and then not being able to hear them.
That was always my favorite part of every segment where you would call overseas. Do you speak English? It was always the opening salvo. And then there was a lot of, hello, hello, yes, do you hear us? There's a lot of that going on.
But we're done now, right?
Well, I don't want everyone to think that the glory days of Kevin and Bean, that you're getting the Hall of Fame award for your work in the distant past.
Right.
I mean, let's not forget that Kevin hung up on one of the most famous people in the world, Beatle Paul McCartney.
He sure did.
Just mere months ago.
Really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
Maybe you should have offered him some gravy.
By the way, the government shut us down on the gravy. We couldn't give it away.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sure Mother Teresa missed out by not being able to get some gravy.
She might still be alive today.
On her deathbed. And, of course, the number one moment, I think this is what they really took into account when they entered Kevin Bean into the Hall of Fame.
You got to give me some heads up.
Where do you think I was going to say enter into? What do you think I was going to say? Enter into a phone booth? Enter into a Sizzler restaurant? What do you think you're going to be entered into tomorrow? What was your guess? There was a thing that went on in a place called Fremont, South Dakota, every year where they would celebrate something called Schmeckfest. And for some reason, Kevin and Bean went there to broadcast live. But before they did that, they came up with their own original theme song that was written by them, but sung by a legendary performer, Tony Orlando. He's no Phyllis Diller, but I give you the theme from Schmeckfest.
Gather round, boys and girls, and listen.
You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and knockwurst. Did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
Hall of Fame! Hall of Fame! Hall of Fame! Hall of Fame!
We'll see you at the ceremony, Ralph.
I don't know how to...
Let's call India. Let's see if anybody else is sick over there. We can get a hold of. Offer them some gravy.
You sure took the air out of this show with those clips.
I beg to differ. There are people. Kyle Fisher right now just tweeted me, please never end this segment. He would like to continue on. I have about 20 more clips if you want to go through those.
I wish we had time.
I had to sift through about 30 of them in order to find those 10.
Hey, our friend Steve Aoki joins us in studio coming up next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the beautiful actress Marina Baccarin from Gotham is going to be here as well. So good stuff on the way. Rob is here now. Time for the show. This being on a Monday. What's going on?
Are you
going
to interview her underwater?
I don't think so.
Or are you going to do it above water? Maybe we should take her to a date farm.
Come on.
Magic.
Come on.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. The boys are on vacation, Allie McKay as well, but I am still here for you because I love you much more than they do. Never, never forget that. It's me here in the studio with the Showbiz Beat alongside of a gentleman named Beer Mug. Good morning, Beer Mug.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Good. Any big plans for your holiday weekend?
I think I'm going to kick back, eat a lot of barbecue.
Oh, I knew that. That was coming.
Drink a lot of beer.
Good man. I want to remind everybody listening to tune in to K-Rock this weekend. Starting 5 p.m. tonight, we are kicking off the Firecracker 500, your favorite 500 K-Rock songs in order of sweetness. The sweetest being number one. Also, for the 4th of July, do yourself a favor. Pick up one of my favorite 4th of July-themed porn films. I can recommend Picnic in My Pants. That's a good one. Washington's Other Monument. The British are coming, the Fondling Fathers, and One If By Land, Two If Bisexual. So make sure you check those out for your entertainment this weekend. The Dukes of Hazzard have been quietly pulled from TV Land's schedule. It's getting serious, man. This Confederate flag thing is for real. First, they took away the General Lee, the Confederate flag, of course, emblazoned on the roof of that Dodge Charger for many years. They're not going to make toys anymore with the General Lee and that logo because the Confederate flag, as you know, still offends a lot of people. So now TV Land has quietly pulled the Dukes of Hazzard, the show itself, from its schedule. And just like that, racism went away. So congratulations, TV Land. Good work. Well done. Next week, make sure you tune in to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be great. We're going to have a ton of cool stuff to give away. I'm going to have Ant-Man passes. We got tickets for a train wreck, that movie coming up. And also, San Diego Comic-Con tickets. How about that? Speaking of Comic-Con, made me think of this guy. Herbert Chavez is his name. He has spent thousands of dollars to to look like his hero, Superman. He is 37 years old. He has 23 surgeries under his belt to look like Superman. He's had nose jobs, liposuction, skin whitening, fillers, jaw augmentation. He wears bright blue contacts. And now doctors say if he has any more operations, he could die. They don't know anything about Superman, do they? That's not what kills Superman. He also has one of the world's largest Superman memorabilia collections. Ha! What a nerd! Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I should start getting surgery so I can look more like Adam West. Wouldn't that be awesome? You can see all his glorious fakeness from Krypton online. You can check him out. Herbert Chavez is his name. Big story about how he's threatening his life. He's starting to use so many fillers, by the way. He's starting to get unnatural bumps all over his body. I don't remember that in the comics, but I remember Superman being lumpy. But
that isn't good for you.
That is not good for you. Be very, very careful. Donald Trump. Still cheesing people off left and right. Of course, his statements about Mexican immigrants, saying that they're drug dealers, criminals, and rapists. Still not sitting well with some people. NBC and Univision have both cut ties with Trump. And now, you're not going to be able to buy his ties anymore at Macy's. Macy's has announced that they are no longer going to be carrying the Trump signature collection. His menswear line will be discontinued because they were, in their words, disappointed and distressed by his comments. They also added, "We want Mexicans to shop here." Trump, by the way, says he's the one who decided to end his relationship with Macy's. Sure, that's what happened. It was you, Donald. You said, "You're fired."
"I've made my decision. You're fired."
Yeah. He's spectacular. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Margot Robbie. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. She's 25 years old today. She will be, speaking of things Comic-Con-y, she'll be Harley Quinn in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie. Lindsay Lohan. Look, say what you want, but she's still Bellworthy. 29 years old today. Ashley Tisdale is 30 years old today. Singer Michelle Branch is 32 years old. Jose Canseco, 51 years old today. Larry David, funny man, actor, producer, writer, 68. I would wish him a happy birthday, but I can't imagine him being happy about any day, let alone his birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I miss Ed Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 6.
What about Al Pacino? How great is he?
All great.
Godfather movies, Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico, Son of a Woman, Heat, Scarface, Donnie Brasco, Angels in America. I mean, the resume on this guy. And he is doing something that's so awesome. I think I'd love to go see this, but it's only a 3-city UK tour where he is doing an evening with Al Pacino, where you go and you listen to him tell stories about his great showbiz career and show video clips and take questions from the audience. And I think this is something I've seen a lot of celebrities doing lately, is they're offering all sorts of upgrades. If you want to have a meet and greet with Al after the show, for instance, and get your picture taken, you can do that. If you want to hang out in Al Pacino's dressing room after the show for 20 minutes, you can do that. I mean, they're giving you all sorts of opportunities to spend more money to make more of your time with Al Pacino. But Kevin, tell us what Ralph was telling us yesterday about the ultimate upgrade for an Al Pacino fan.
You can fly with him to the next city on his private jet. So you meet him at the airport. And apparently it's you and Al, and you get on a plane,
wow.
A private plane, and he's trapped with you, and then you go to the next city.
You have a captive audience.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
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 I've never heard of that. I've never heard, "Come get on my plane." I've never heard that. It's a VIP package that includes the airplane ride in both directions and 3 nights at a luxury hotel and a ticket for the evening with Al Pacino. And it's coming up in May, and it's available right now. So we wanted to find out about this unusual arrangement. Like, who does this, even for his biggest fans? So we have the great Al Pacino Oscar, Emmy, and Tony winner on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Pacino. How are you, sir?
Oh, Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
Ooh-ah.
Great to talk to you again. How you feeling?
Great to talk to you guys. How you doing today?
We're very good. Thank
doing
you. Fine.
So glad to hear it.
Talking about the evening with Al Pacino and some of the perks that you're offering your fans. This is really unusual.
Oh, yeah. Come fly with me, baby. Ooh-ah.
I don't think we've ever heard of any other celebrity doing this. What kind of plane is it? And
I'm in the plane right now, baby.
Oh wow.
Flying from New York to London.
Okay.
It's a beautiful plane. You're going to love it. Come fly with me. I promise I'll get you there safely. Ooh-ah.
Well, you're not actually
you're not flying it.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're the pilot?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Good afternoon, passengers. This is your captain speaking. First, I'd like to welcome everyone on the Pacino Airlines Flight 86A. We're currently cruising at an altitude of 33,000 feet with an airspeed of 400 miles per hour. Weather looks good. With the tailwind on our side, we expect to land in London approximately 15 minutes ahead of schedule. Now, in a few moments, I'll be coming around to offer you a light snack and beverage. The in-flight movie will begin shortly after that. I'll talk to you again before we reach our destination. Wow.
Wait.
Wow. Wait, so you're the pilot and you're also going to serve them food?
I do it all, baby.
This is unbelievable. It doesn't sound safe, actually.
Well, look, you get Al Pacino or you get safe. You don't get both. You want safe?
Okay.
Go fly with De Niro.
Okay.
You mentioned an in-flight movie. Is it one of yours?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Two for the money. Damn, I love that movie.
Seems like one of your lesser-known roles.
You son of a bitch. I'll take you apart. I will. Hold on a second.
What happened? Al, you okay?
Oh, I think we're going to crash. Hold on a second. That's not working. No. Well, hold on a second.
You should focus on flying the plane and not making the announcement, maybe. Is there a problem?
Omar, we're going down.
What? Wait, who's Omar?
My co-pilot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not Omar Khan, is it?
Yeah.
He's your co-pilot?
Well, he's on a no-fly list from everywhere else.
Right.
What are you... Omar, why is it not working?
I don't know.
I need a sound effect. Damn it. Oh, check.
Oh, that'll work. I think passengers can hear you.
Hello. Did we do it? Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen... We're going down.
You don't tell them.
Put your hand between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.
Ralph Garman, I know that you are interested in this story with Kendra Sunderland, who has been in the news lately.
Even the name is hot.
Yeah, the name is hot, and she is ridiculously hot.
She's on fire. She's en flambé.
She grew up in Salem, Oregon. She is 20 years old. She graduated from West Salem High School 2 years ago. In the fall of 2013, she enrolled at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. She thought she wanted to become a counselor, took a few classes, didn't like it. Then she switched to business and economics, thinking she might be an accountant, which would have been a huge waste of her boobs, by the way. She decided eventually that the 9-to-5 world wasn't for her. Then she talked to a friend who was making money on webcams, myfreecams.com.
Yeah.
She did her first show in October, made about $150 for an hour's work. And she
$150
said,
bucks an hour?
Yes.
Yep, just for showing off her bits and pieces.
Strong. Yes. So now she's hooked on that. And the reason she is in the news, Ralph Garman, what has beautiful Kendra Sunderland done now?
Well, Kendra's there taking care of business. She's an entrepreneur.
On the webcam?
On the My Free Cams.
Okay.
She will entertain gentlemen with removal of her clothes and the touching of her body.
I don't see any problem with that. So far, consenting adults doing a legal practice.
That's right. And, the thing about My Free Cams is, it's My Free Cams. You get on My Free Cams, or so I'm told. And if you tip the ladies, if you give them, donate some money towards them, they'll take you and you can get a private show, or they will do more the more you give. So she was there, taking care of business, and she happened to be in the school library.
With people walking behind her in the shot, she was told that if she did a sex show in a public place that she could earn more money, and she made over $700 for that less than half an hour work in the library.
Because it's taboo, it's sexy, and guys who have a thing for college girls see you on campus in the library. This is their biggest fantasy come to life. And she's chewing bubble gum and she's blowing bubbles.
Oh, she's just adorable.
And she's All right, creepy.
Take it easy.
You're like I can take a story about porn and make it creepier.
What? I said she was adorable. What's creepy about that?
It's just the way you say it.
I can hear the duct tape in your voice when you talk. And so she's undoing her hoodie and she's dropping her pants and she's just the best.
She is.
And then some people got upset because somebody who was watching on their home computer or monitor or whatever was capturing the footage, and then they uploaded it to Pornhub, I think, or one of these sites.
Okay.
And it got around that she was doing this, and the school found out, and the authorities found out.
That she was using their library. That's what they
found. And now there's a big hullabaloo.
Oregon State University has banned her from the campus, by the way. She has also been banned from My Free Cams for violating the site's guidelines by doing it in the public library. So she's gone to another site, I guess, and she's going to continue to do the work. She says she plans on doing modeling. She's having the time of her life. Her parents aren't crazy about it. They are no longer supporting her. And did we hear a clip, Kevin, that the police ended up getting involved and she ended up being fined for the thing too, right?
Yeah, for public indecency.
I can't play the clip because it's from Huffington Post. And they're just gone.
They're the best. They're the best, Kevin. How dare you play it?
I'll play the beginning.
No, you don't want to hear it, Ralph. You really don't. It's super bad. All right, so.
A 19-year-old Oregon State University student whose sexy porn video in the college's library went viral.
Bean could do sexier.
Good read, by the way, for that lady. All right, so the reason we bring all of this up, Oregon State webcam girl Kendra Sunderland in the news, the reason we bring all of this up is to say, A, Lisa, how proud of you, of us are you that she's coming in on the show next week?
Oh, wow.
Okay. We're finally a newsmaker on the show. That's what we need, more newsmakers, because we are a serious journalist outlet.
That's correct.
It's so funny how many things we see in the news that we have no interest in booking the participants, but this one we said, Dave, get her. So she's coming in next week. But two is, this does bring up, an interesting phone topic that we haven't done in a super long time, which is people who are part-time porn actors. They're in somehow in the porn industry part time. Like, she was a student and did this on the side to make money. There are lots of people who are homemakers who are making it, who have a 9-to-5 job that are also making money.
We look for part time sex workers.
That's right.
Someone who augments their income by doing a little sexy on the side.
So what would fall under that category? Webcam work obviously would be one thing. What else?
She was a full time student, but she was doing webcam work on the side, so that helped her.
I would think phone sex
get along.
Too.
Phone sex, absolutely. Yep. If you maybe you're an escort, maybe you spend time with gentlemen who are lonely, who need an escort to an event or something.
They're not
like
paying
that.
You for sex.
No, that's a decision you make as sending adults after the fact.
Right.
They're just spending time with you.
Exactly.
Perhaps you're doing some sexy modeling, whatever it is. If you're a part-time sex worker, we want to hear from you. And I would assume we're looking for either men or women in this call-in topic. Right?
Yeah, but let's be honest. We're going to go to the women.
Yeah. Because the guys will be like, yeah, I'm a gigolo, and I've got a 12-foot penis, and women love me.
Apparently there is, again, it's a legal thing to do, and there's a lot of money to be made in it. So,
and you can give us a fake name if you want, if you need to protect yourself.
Or you can give us a website or a link or something if you would like to show off your
work.
Maybe
a password.
Yeah, sure.
There you go. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for our own Kendra Sunderlands in the audience. You're a part-time sex worker. We want to hear your story. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. On the Kevin Amin Twitter account, Darth is accusing us of playing date rape on purpose because of the phone topic we're doing on part-time sex worker. That is absolutely not the case. It was not intentional. That was happened to be the song that was up next. But we are talking to part-time sex workers right now on the Kevin Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Harley, Don, Lisa, everyone, please hang on. It all got started because of a woman in the news named Kendra Sunderland. Last week, she made international news, really, because she did a My Free webcam show from the library at Oregon State University.
Now, is it just me, or is it sexier because it's a real person who has a real life doing it, rather than a professional porn star, porn actress doing
it? I feel like it's probably a little sexier.
It's a lot sexier. It's a ton more sexier.
Well, Ralph, you would know the breakdown of how people prefer their porn online and whatnot. I mean, amateur porn is one of the most popular categories, right?
Absolutely. And these cam shows are just blowing up. Couples are doing them now to make money. Men, women, all different varieties.
You just do it out of your house, right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk to, or the school library. Let's talk to Harley. She is in Reseda. She's on line one, please. She's apparently been doing this for some time. Hey, Harley, welcome to the Kevin Beach. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
So we're talking about part-time sex workers. You have something that you do full-time, but then you're doing this on the side for extra money. Tell us your situation, please.
Correct. Basically, I've owned businesses. Right now, I'm basically doing full-time clerical work, really good high-paying job. And once I ended up in a divorce and things were going south, I started doing this in order to supplement income.
And this is webcamming?
Correct.
Okay.
And what's the money like for you for webcamming, if you don't, if that's not too personal a question to ask?
Because it's actually pretty neat because I can pretty much decide how much I need to make, and I can, everything varies, you know. And for me, I don't have to make a ton of money because I have a normal job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I pretty much make sure that I make between $300 and $500 extra a week, and it's probably just a couple hours.
Wow, you know, a couple hours a week nets you another $300 to $500.
Correct.
That's unbelievable. And you can do it from your house, and you can work whenever you want. If you don't feel like working that night, you don't have to. It's just completely in your hands.
Exactly. And it's super cool. I meet tons of new people, and of course, I'm very secretive. Nobody really knows who I am. But I can also become whoever they want me to be,
right,
which is also part of the fun is, you know, I can live anywhere. I can do anything. You know, it's really open-ended, and it's really interesting, you know, even on a psychological basis to see, you know, what they want and they desire that they can't get from maybe their spouse or the girlfriend or whatever.
Are you ever afraid that people at work might find out what you're doing?
Yes. There's very, very few people who know what I do.
Right.
And, you know, they're really close friends, and I'm very guarded with what I do because it is very taboo.
Sure.
You know, and I don't think
it shouldn't. And it shouldn't be, by the way. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing at all.
Well, I'll be the judge of that. Send me a link so I can see what you're doing, and then I'll be the judge.
Partly, let me ask you this. Is it, and then we got to move on to, we got some other great calls, but man, it's great talking to you. Is this strictly a business transaction for you, or are you turned on by it and really enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely a heavy turn on. I think that there's something really neat about having that connection with somebody, you know. So, yeah, there's definitely a turn on. And at the same rate, yes, it's very business. I don't go beyond business whatsoever. But, yeah, there's definitely a turn on by being wanted and desired in a weird sort of way.
Yeah, well, in the weirdest possible way, I'll tell you that much.
I'm glad
that's
you
how
called.
I desire you. Really weird.
I especially appreciate your discretion because you're pretending like we don't know each other. But thank you, Harley, for dialing in today. We really appreciate it.
Creepy beans.
All right, let's go to, there's nothing creepy about, let's go to Dawn. She's in Sherman Oaks. She's up next. She's online, too.
Hey, Dawn.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, hi, Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn.
How much are we paying per minute for this call right now?
$12.99.
Oh! All right, what's your deal? What do you do by day? What do you do by night, please?
At the time, I worked in a hospital, and then by night, I would go home and work for a phone sex company.
And how did you make the decision to go there?
We needed some extra cash. And it was easy. My friend already worked there, and he was like, "You should totally come do it because you have a great voice and you would be good at it."
At some point, did you say no to the day job because you're starting to make more money, or no?
No,
not at all.
No,
okay.
It was always just a little extra cash.
It was just a little extra cash. I was a single parent at the time, so it helped.
Every little bit.
How
helps.
Long did you do it, Dawn, before you said, "All right, I'm tired of that"?
For about a year and a half, because it became, my day job was a receptionist, so I was on the phone all day, and then I was on the phone all night.
Yeah, right.
So it wore out my vocal cords.
And then you heard, check out your, what are you wearing? Check out your clothes.
Pretend you're naked lying on a map.
Let's say you're a map. Let's say you're a weathercast person.
Tell me you like Denny's.
What I love about Harley and Dawn, though, is they could set their own hours and they could do it from home, and it's completely safe, by the way.
Bean's going to start webcamming.
Bean's going to start webcamming.
All right, Dawn, you are awesome as well. Thank you so much. Do we have any more time?
I've got nothing but time for these ladies.
All right. Let's talk to Jody real quick in Woodland Hills, because if I understand correctly what I'm being told, she's counseling girls out of doing part-time porn work, and we won't stand for that.
She's our arch nemesis.
Jody?
I am your arch nemesis.
What are you doing?
What's wrong with
you? How can you be so wrong?
Stop it.
Okay, so here's the deal. It's from what I've been listening to, it's totally glamorizing. This is sexual exploitation of women. I sit with these women, and I'd say about 85% 70% plus have been sexually abused as children.
All right, Dr. Drew, come on.
This is not the fun we had hoped for.
By the way.
What?
But come on, listen. You know what? I work at...
You're breaking up.
I've worked at a drop-in center for 9 years, and these women come in, and as a little girl, nobody grows up and says, I want to do...
Jody hijacked our show just
right,
now.
Right, but a little girl doesn't have to support herself and doesn't get to make adult choices that are right for her, though.
Right, but here's the thing. It's the hardest lifestyle to get out of because it's not reality. I mean, I work with women that make maybe $1,000 a day. Who does that?
That does sound terrible.
Yeah, but I think you're talking about women in movies.
Yeah, you're talking about porn actresses or hookers or something?
Women that do some part-time work that have real lives.
Here's what I know. This was fun before Jody.
Yeah. Thanks, Buzzkill.
It's a little different.
I know that happened.
Listen, I'm sure you know what you're talking about, and I'm sure there are women who are exactly as you describe, but not our listeners.
Right.
Right.
Our listeners are all happy.
That's our boys. They're hot and they're happy. Jody, thanks for the call.
You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean, and by best, I mean least worst. Here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Thanks so much for spending your day with us. Kevin and Bean, as I mentioned, are off on vacation. Ali McKay also enjoying some time off. I am here, however, slaving over a hot microphone for you because, well, I'm not on vacation, that's why. Or else I'd be drunk someplace on a beach. It is the Showbiz Beat live each and every hour. Let's talk about what's happening in entertainment news. Dukes of Hazzard are taking a beating lately. Not only has Warner Brothers decided to pull its line of Dukes of Hazzard merchandise, including the General Lee, which features the Confederate flag in full color on the roof, now TV Land has pulled its Dukes of Hazzard reruns. Ugh. How am I going to get my Daisy Duke fix? My Boss Hog fix? Look, I understand not selling the merchandise with the Confederate flag on it. I get that to a certain extent. But pulling an innocuous, silly little show off of television because people might think that's offensive? Maybe too far. But who am I to say? Them dukes. I know John Schneider is not going to be happy today. Speaking of television, E! Entertainment has renewed its plastic surgery nightmare series called Botched. I don't know if you've ever watched Botched. But my wife is addicted, and it is a freak show. It is the worst plastic surgeries gone wrong. And then the two doctors, Dr. DeBro and Dr. Nassif, get together and try to fix that person to varying degrees of success. It gets 1.8 million viewers an episode. That's pretty huge for basic cable, so you can see why they're bringing it back for a third time. And if you want to feel better about yourself, go ahead and watch some Botched. I guarantee you, you'll like it. Miley Cyrus likes to be naked. That's what she do. And now, word is she's looking to buy a plot of land so she can have her own personal nudist colony for her friends. Holy moly, is she a hippie. Word is she is going to get a personal guest list together and all of her friends can come and be comfortable with their naked bodies. According to sources, Madonna's already on the list. Ooh, I don't know. I mean, Madonna, don't get me wrong, she's in amazing shape for a man of that age. But I like my women a little bit more curvy and feminine.
Is that guy naked?
Looks like they are going to redo Roots, the legendary miniseries about the Alex Haley novel in which he traced his roots all the way back to Africa. A&E Networks are going to do a remake of that. And Lawrence Fishburne has been announced to play author Alex Haley. No word on casting yet of the role of Kunta Kinte, who was captured in his homeland and sent to America where he sold into slavery. But I'm still holding out hopes for Steve Guttenberg. I think he'd be an excellent Kunta Kinte. You know, they do a lot of these unauthorized behind-the-scenes movies that are very successful. People, for some reason, like to see dramatized versions of what happened backstage of their favorite TV shows. There was an unauthorized Saved by the Bell story last year. And in quick succession, they announced the unauthorized Full House story, the unauthorized Beverly Hills 90210 movie. And now Lifetime has given the go-ahead to an unauthorized Melrose Place story. I don't know if Melrose Place has the sort of rabid fan base of people who want to know what Heather Locklear's morning ritual was like on the set, but We'll have to wait and see. That series, of course, ran from 1992 to 1999 and did pretty well. So maybe there's an audience for it. Pinocchio! Oh, Pinocchio. You want to be a real life boy, Pinocchio? Well, we're going to be nads deep in Pinocchio pretty soon. There are several live-action Pinocchio films in the works. Disney is working on a live-action version as well because, of course, they are turning all of their major animated classics into live-action films. Guillermo del Toro also has a Pinocchio stop-motion animation film in the works. And now we're being told that Robert Downey Jr. is producing a film about Pinocchio, and he's going to play Geppetto. Hey, Pinocchio, hey, why you lie so much? Look at your nose. I don't care. Whatever Robert Downey Jr. is involved in, I'll go see it. With him as Pinocchio, too. It'll be awesome. Donald Trump, still in trouble over his statements about Mexican immigrants. If you didn't hear his statement, let me read it to you. Mexico is sending people that have lots of problems. They are bringing those problems to us. They are bringing drugs and bringing crime, and they're rapists. Now, in all fairness, he did say, some Mexicans are good people, I guess. Why so generous, Donald? Well, this has sparked controversy and has cost Trump. Several companies have cut ties with him. NBC and Univision both have said they'll no longer be in the Donald Trump business. And now Macy's has said they will no longer carry his menswear line. Which you've ever seen how the Donald dresses is no big loss to anyone. He was selling Trump-branded dress shirts and ties at the major department store. Apparently they are still available, but right now being sold at a heavy discount. They're trying to get rid of all their back stock and won't be featuring it any longer.
You don't know, man.
I do know, man. You're fired. This is unnecessary. There's a Monopoly movie in the works. I get the game is popular. I did not know it's been around since 1903, but I know that a lot of people play Monopoly. Maybe not so much anymore, but back in the day.
Back in the day, children, before your fancy e-phones and your i-mail, we used to sit at home and bring out board games. And they called them board games because you got bored!
Especially with Monopoly. Monopoly would go on for days. Now they're making the Monopoly movie. What the serious F? What are the characters going to be? The top hat? The racing car? The corgi? Whatever that little dog was? This is stupid!
That sounds unnecessary.
It's completely unnecessary. Come on, now? Look, I understand that toy movies make money. I know the Lego movie was very successful. I know Transformers and whatnot lend themselves to big screen adaptations. But Monopoly?
They should have taken a hint off Battleship.
Yes, don't they remember Battleship? They sunk that movie by making it dumb. Oh, boy. Glenn Close, Michael Douglas starred in a movie called Fatal Attraction back in the day. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was a great film. Now Fox apparently is working on what they're calling an event series. Event series is now a fancy way of saying a mini-series, as it was known back in the day. And it's going to be a limited episode series based on the movie Fatal Attraction. They're calling it a reimagining of the film. Which is what they call something when they have no imagination of their own. They're reimagining. And this will be, once again, what happens when a married man's affair comes back to haunt him. Because it turns out she's a psychopath. Some people cheat with psychopaths. Some people marry psychopaths. You don't know. It's a crazy world we live in. Right, Beer Mug?
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. It is the 4th of July weekend coming up, of course. Tonight, it all kicks off. With the big K-Rock Firecracker 500. Starts at 5 p.m. tonight. We're going to be playing your favorite 500 K-Rock songs and counting them down over the long holiday weekend. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be a great time to listen to some K-Rock music over the weekend while you're partying. And by the way, party safe. Don't blow your fingers off. Don't drink and drive. Do you know this is the most dangerous weekend of the year to be driving a car in terms of accidents? So stay off the roads. Uber. Or call Beer Mug.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll pick you up.
He'll give you a lift. Are you still doing the lift thing? Has that happened yet?
You know what?
Your new career?
I haven't done Lyft yet, but I have dabbled in Uber.
You have dabbled in Uber?
I have.
How's that been going for you?
It's been all right. I need to hit the roads more.
Are you calling it Juber?
Yeah.
Are you?
We should. I should start that.
You should start
LLC.
Start your own app. LLC. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, July 2nd. Margot Robbie is 25 years old today. Soon to be seen as Harley Quinn in the new Suicide Squad movie. She looks pretty hot. Lindsay Lohan, 29 years old. She's only 29? Whew, that 29 has a lot of miles on it, doesn't it? Ashley Tisdale, she's 30 years old today. Michelle Branch is 32. Jose Canseco, he is 51 years old. And producer, actor, director, Larry David. Very, very funny man. Celebrates his 68th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have been looking forward to this interview for a long, long time. Director Brett Morgan in studio with us right now. His film is called Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck. It is 8 years in the making, you guys, to make this film. And it is finally out in select theaters today, including the Arclight in Los Angeles, premiering on HBO on Monday, May the 4th. Mr. Morgan, welcome, sir.
Thank you.
You said something as you were sliding into your chair that kind of knocked me back a little bit, that you are surprised at how much good reaction there is to this film and how crazy people are about Kurt Cobain. I thought that's why you made the movie, is because you knew how much people love Kurt.
You know, I knew people liked him, and I knew that he affected people, but until we launched the film and I saw the reaction on social media, there was no way to know the depths of it. I mean, this is global right now. You know, we just broke advanced ticket sales in Seattle, New York. I mean, it's like, I was telling you last night, we were selling out little villages in Lithuania and Spain. And I mean,
but he's our generation's, you know, Jim Morrison, though. I mean, you had to know how popular, you can't go a day without running into a Nirvana song or seeing Kurt Cobain's face.
You know, I guess, I don't know, man. It's all very just crazy right now.
Did it really, it took you 8 years to put together this?
It was like 6 years of legal wrangling and a couple years of making the film.
This is an authorized documentary.
Yeah, that usually means watered down. You know, authorized, this is such a unique experience because authorized usually means like they don't want you to see it. But this is a situation where Courtney and Francis gave me total control, final cut, full authority to go into the vault and release all this stuff, liberate all this material. And, you know, to make this film what it is, 85% of this movie is never before seen or rarely seen material. And that's because the way Kurt was in front of the cameras, he's really uncomfortable, and we had this limited access. I mean, we knew who he was through his music,
right,
and through those stage performances. But it's so amazing when you see how romantic he was and how funny he was and all these other sides of him and how prolific he was as an artist. Because, you know, the thing I'd like to say about this film is that it's really an autobiography. You know, I'm the servant, man. He created this oral and visual autobiography of his life. And he did it through sound collage, and he did it through painting, and he did it through Super 8 filmmaking, and most importantly through Nirvana, the music with Nirvana. But what audiences are going to experience in this film, you know, people say with Kurt's really mercurial, you know, and he's really difficult to pin down. And if you do a, you know, book or a film and you base it on interviews with people, you're going to be spinning around and around. And if you do it based on interviews with Kurt that he did in the media, you're never going to know what the truth is. He didn't like doing interviews. So if you want to get to the core of Kurt Cobain, let him tell the story in the best way he can through his art. You know?
And the way you weave through that with the journal entries, with his drawings, everything, how much time did it take you to go through all of that?
I mean, it was a couple years of just going through everything and trying to put the pieces together. And I mean, it's just,
it wrote itself, really.
It kind of did. Yeah.
What was the most surprising thing you learned about Kurt Cobain you weren't expecting to find out?
How much in love he was with love. You know, he's really romantic. And I don't know if that really came through too much.
It did. His sensitivity came through, I think, more than anything for me. And I watched this as a casual fan. I am not one of those people that was just insane about Nirvana. But it gave me this insane respect for him just as a person, for what he kind of kept overcoming throughout his whole career. And trying to deal with that art as a sensitive person
yeah.
was ultimately his downfall as well. But how did you put that all together but still keep it genuine to those huge Nirvana fans that are going to want something that they didn't know as well?
Well, you know, it really, once again, it was a tribute to the family for, you know, Frances said to me when I met her, we were shaking hands, and I said, I'm Brett. And she said, I'm Frances. And she said, you know, as she held my hand, I'm just met you, and I know you more than I know my father.
Wow, that's sad.
And,
she was how old when he died?
20 months. She has no memory of him.
Wow.
Okay. And so we sat down in a breakfast nook, and she said before, and I thought I was going to pitch her the movie, but before I could say anything, she said, listen, everywhere I go, it's St. Kurt, St. Kurt. And she said, whatever you do, just keep it honest and real, because that's the best tribute we could do to Kurt. And
she didn't want you to
whitewash it.
Whitewash
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No. And, you know,
that's rare.
And, you know, when she saw the film, and she gave me total autonomy and respect as a, and she said, I'm an artist and I totally respect you as an artist and you do your thing. And when I screened her the film for the first time, she embraced me and said, thank you for giving me these 2 hours with my father that I never knew I was going to have.
And was wow. that a pressure for you the whole time?
I wanted to make it for her. You know, I'm a father of three.
Yeah.
And I saw this as an opportunity to sort of bridge the gap. And the thing that's so remarkable about it is, you know, it's incredibly intimate, as you know. And you know, we don't hold back. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But, you know, we weren't trying to put him on a pedestal. We weren't trying to tear him down. We were trying to look him in the eye and strip away the layers of mythology and reveal the man. And when you see the man, he's so much more endearing than the myth. You know?
This is the voice of the director, Brett Morgan, here on the Kevin Amici Show. Again, we're talking about the film Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. It's going to be premiering on HBO on Monday, May 4th. Kevin talked about how much Kurt was uncomfortable in the press. Why did he allow the band to make so many decisions that made them so much more famous, being on the cover of magazines and going on MTV and doing so many things that they didn't have to do if they didn't want to?
Well, that was the problem, you know, because Kurt wanted to be famous, but he didn't know what that would be. You know, he thought maybe Sonic Youth, they'd sell 200,000 albums. And when they broke, you know, instead of, and here's a guy who has a real low self-esteem, you know, and suddenly the whole world is staring at him. And that doesn't make you feel any better. Coupled with, he was an artist. So it was one thing when he wanted to do the interviews when he was working his way up. But suddenly when they said, hey, man, you got to do this interview at 3 o'clock, it became a job. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he had any and that's what you see in the film. Because when I experienced it, when it was happening, I was like, oh, this guy's like this whiny, you know, get over it, man. But when you go through his whole journey with him, you realize he's just an artist. He's a pure artist who doesn't want to sit here dealing with, like, explaining his music. You know, and all this stuff. And hey, I just got to say something real quick because you mentioned HBO. But we have something really special happening right now in LA. This is Kurt Cobain weekend at the Arclight and at the Dome. And we're doing all sorts of amazing giveaways this weekend. We are giving 5 fans an opportunity for a full access Montage of Heck archive tour where they will have access to everything that Kurt left behind. All of his music, all of the film, everything. So I'm putting 5 Wonka tickets throughout the weekend
nice.
Underneath the seats, and it's because I wanted to liberate those archives. You know, I wanted to. This film was for Frances, but there was also a sense that this stuff needs to be out in the world, and we need to share this with the fans. And
it's a 2-hour movie. How much stuff is there? Could you have made a 20-hour movie?
No, this is
not
it.
Not that much.
This is it, man. My first cut of the film was 2.5 hours, and that and then this is the same film, you know. But there's going to be an amazing soundtrack that's sort of inspired by the movie. That'll be coming out, and you know, it's just, you know, we started this by saying how you know, I didn't realize how deeply Kurt had penetrated the zeitgeist, but you know, it's amazing because it seems like it's a rite of passage for 13-year-olds. You know, whenever they get to that point in life when they realize their parents aren't exactly who they thought they were,
right?
They find comfort and solace in Kurt. And it's just a power to his ability to express himself and capture that feeling that we all go through at those you know, pivotal moments in our life. And, you know, Kurt, the bottom line is he's come to represent and given a home to the uglies, the geeks, the downtrodden. I don't want to, like, as we say this, it sounds like we're, like, propping him up and, you know, making him St. Kurt again, right? But you cannot deny the power of the art. And that is why we're still talking about him.
Absolutely. You know, he wrote about adolescence and alienation in a way that millions of people have responded to and will always respond to. You're absolutely right about that. I mean, he tapped into something that was universal in the experience of growing up.
It's rare, too, in that we were at K-Rock when that happened, and all of a sudden, all the radio stations were playing Nirvana. We were like, what's happening? How are all the radio stations playing this? It didn't make any sense to us. He conquered the entire world of music.
And you know what? Right now, he's the biggest star. I think he's probably the biggest star of the last 25 years. Someone asked me to see the last rock star, and I said, that's ridiculous. He's not the last rock star, but he may be the last analog rock star. You know?
Yeah, what's really curious, and I know you've talked to, you know, Dave Grohl, you've done a bunch of interviews with him as well that we may see at some point, is that, you know, Dave Grohl is almost kind of not in the seriousness of the music, but just in terms of the global popularity. Dave Grohl is about the biggest rock star in the world right now. And who would have ever known that he would come from behind the drums and turn into that, right?
He was such a good drummer. I think you're right. I think Dave Grohl is the biggest rock star in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people love listening to his music. But in terms of that sort of spiritual, deeper connection, I mean, it's a totally different beast.
Totally different. You're absolutely
right. Tonight, we're going to go worship at the Arclight Dome, one of the great cinema palaces in the world, in a communal gathering. There's like 20 tickets left, I think, for tonight and tomorrow night's primetime shows. And I highly encourage people. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see this on the giant silver screen in L.A.
Absolutely. And we just tweeted out that information. We'll put it up on the Kevin Bean Facebook page as well, so you can make sure to be there in the house to see the movie Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. The rest of us will see it on HBO on Monday, May 4th. More with our guest, director Brett Morgan, when we return right after this on K-Rock. On the big screen at the Arclight in Los Angeles tonight is Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck. Brett Morgan, the director, is here with us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. All right. So during the break there, I'm asking you about some of these animated segments that are beautifully done in your film, and the voiceover narration that I assumed you had a voice actor reading from Kurt's journals to make those illustrations.
I assumed the exact same thing.
Oh, my God, that's so crazy. No, what happened was in 1987-88, Kurt was experimenting with spoken word. And he would write stuff down in his journals, and then he would go and record it. And so when I went into the archives, I discovered this box of 108 cassettes.
108?
Yeah. And one of the tapes I put in, I start to hear Kurt telling the story of performing the story of his adolescence. And he tells this amazing story about his first sexual experience, which ends in his first suicide attempt. And nobody had ever heard this. And here's one of the most dissected and investigated artists of our time. And here's possibly the most critical piece of the puzzle if we want to understand Kurt. And it just was sitting there till 2013.
That's unbelievable. And here's the clip, again, of a story that none of us knew about. And how old is Kurt at this point, Brent?
He's the story he's talking about, he was 15, but he's telling it when he's about 20.
All right, listen up.
I couldn't handle the ridicule. So I got high and drunk and walked down to the train tracks and laid down and put two big pieces of cement on my chest and legs, and I waited for the 11 o'clock train. And the train came closer and closer and closer, and it went on the next track besides me and stood over me. The tension from school had an effect on me, and the train scared me enough to try to rehabilitate myself, and my lifting weights and mathematics seemed to be improving, so I became less manically depressed, but still never had any friends because I hated everyone, for they were so phony.
When I saw the movie the other night, I came into the guys the next morning, Brett, and I said, I feel like even if Kurt Cobain had not been in a band and had not been subject to all of that pressure, I feel like he eventually would have ended up killing himself just as a civilian because he seemed to have so many demons.
I think one of the things we see, we track down, you know, wasn't enough to just come to the conclusion that, you know, Kurt, I mean, one of the themes, as you just heard, that was the Rosebud. You know, here he is talking about killing himself, but he tells you why. I couldn't handle the ridicule. And that was the Rosebud, because once I heard that, suddenly everything else was illuminated. And you realize in Floyd the Barber, I was shamed, I was shamed, I was shamed. The most common words in Kurt's journals were shame, humiliation, ridicule, and guilt. But it wasn't enough to just say that he was threatened by ridicule. I wanted to get to the square root of it, the core of it. And Wendy Cobain handed me 5 hours of never-before-seen Super 8 footage of Kurt growing up from 6 months to 8 years. And it was like the movie Boyhood. Here's, once again, the most investigated artist of our time, the Holy Grail, this footage where you can see him start off life as this beautiful, angelic little boy. And then you see the damage inflicted upon him at a very young age.
He was, I noticed this too, he was hyper and too happy and just bouncing off the walls.
And they didn't know how to nurture it.
Yeah,
no.
And that's what started the shame, the humiliation, the rejection. And you see that at such an early point in the movie, and it's heartbreaking. It is just, it's, this movie is so sad and dark and beautiful and lovely and uplifting. I'm telling you, I watched it 2 hours and 12 minutes. I could have done 6 more hours easily.
Can you go back and edit?
Can you please?
Yeah, it's, you know, the beautiful thing about Kurt, and once again, going back to this, is he had all that pain, but he, you know, he was so creative, and, you know, he had to do something with it, and he purged it out of him through his art, and it's so expressive, and stuff like that, what we just heard, that is a piece of art. He's performing it. He did multiple takes on it, you know, and it's, you get this image of this kid, you know, in this apartment in Olympia, you know, going and telling this story, and also the way he's telling it, which is slightly aloof.
That's, you know, why I thought it was someone else.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's haunting, man. Yeah. And I just have to say real quick that I don't want people to think this is like a super depressing movie, because it is on another level, a celebration of the creative power of art. And the transformative power of art. And, you know, and it's funny, man. I mean, Courtney and Kurt, who knew they were like Lucy and Ricky?
Yeah, well, they were goofballs.
I mean, they
were happy little newlyweds, weren't they?
I mean, it's like, you know, if you want to see what love is like at 24, 25 years old, you come see this movie and you're going to see two people that were so deeply, passionately, crazily in love and, I mean, absolutely hilarious. There are points in the movie where you cannot hear, we're going to experience this tonight, where you won't hear the dialogue because Kurt is just hilarious in a way that we've never experienced. And, dude, you could just imagine, as I'm discovering all this stuff, and everything I'm seeing is a revelation, and it's revealing another piece of Kurt, and I'm sitting here by myself, and I'm going, this has to come out, man. We have got to get this out. You know, But
go on. You actually said in an interview, and you said it again here, and it freaks me out, and I hope it's not true. You don't want to do another movie after this. You're spent. You don't think you can do something as true.
No, man, because there's nobody. You know, I love working. I did The Kid Stays in the Picture and Crossfire Hurricane and the 30 for 30, June 17, 1984.
You're just throwing these away. Those were all great.
Those were some of the best things you'll ever see in your life.
But, you know, with Kurt, I had an artist, once again, who was both oral and visual, and Kurt did the sound design. I mean, how crazy. People talk about how intimate this film is. I'm not, you know, Rolling Stone called it the most intimate rock doc ever made. And the intimacy, to me, is his art, and not footage of him nodding off with Francis so much. But, you know, you're hearing the sounds that he was hearing and experiencing life through his eyes and his experiences. And it's so all-encompassing and beautiful. And, you know, I'm sitting here, and this was like, I thought this film was polarizing, you know, because it's so avant-garde in a way. But we're sitting here right now, we've got 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And, you know, it's just been euphoric. I mean, Entertainment Weekly gave it an A, and the raves in the LA Times, New York Times this morning. I never expected that, man. I thought going into it like this is going to be, someone's not going to like this film, but it's just insane what's happening all over the world right now.
It is fascinating to see somebody that was that huge in our pop culture, and then to see a lot of behind the stuff that we didn't know.
I mean, there was so fascinating. Much. Yeah, I mean, who knew that?
Even if you don't like the band, I think that's fascinating.
Who knew there was going to be all that? I didn't know, man. Yeah. I had no. I was so cynical. What else is there to say about Kurt?
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, but look what
this
there is.
It's just like, you know, you had an opportunity to dig for gold and you hit a mother load. You didn't even know what you were getting yourself into. But thank you for making the film, Brett. Obviously, you know how much Kurt Cobain and Nirvana has meant to us over the years here at K-Rock. I mean, they're probably the biggest, most influential band we've ever played on this radio station. So, I mean, we've got a lot of people out there who are going to be wanting to see this movie. That's for sure.
Well,
let me ask you one last question before we let you go. And I think of this every time we lose somebody so young. At 27, he commits suicide. Could he have been saved? Would there have been a way? Like, what wasn't in place to help him so that that didn't happen?
You know, it seems to me that the problems, you know, predated Courtney, predated Nirvana, predated heroin. I'd like to think if he could have got through that patch, you know, maybe things could have been different. But I don't know, man. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that's so touching in this film is you see what a great father he could have been. He loved that girl. You know, some men have a hard time taking to fatherhood. You know, it's easier for women. But Kurt was really the maternal one in the house. And he was so nurturing. And you see that love and that tenderness. And, it, you know, I mean, the great tragedy of this thing is the father that Frances lost.
Yeah.
Because she would have had one of the best fathers you could have ever had. And that, to me, is really the where the hurt, man. When, you know, seeing this right now is like... You could just see it. What an amazing father Kurt was and could have been.
Yep. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Mr. Morgan. Great to have you on the show. We really enjoyed it. And congratulations on the film, sir.
Thank
really
you
great.
So much.
Thank you so much. All right. We got to clear the lines and open them right back up again. If you would like to win tickets in the front row for Mumford & Sons, we would like to make that happen. As you know, tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock for their show coming up August 17th, now at the 18th, also at the Forum. If you want to go, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what are we looking for this time around?
We're looking for your questions about Mumford & Sons. Stump Rodney.
Rodney Bingenheimer knows everything there is to know about everything, particularly Mumford & Sons. So if you've got a trivia question you think you can get by Rodney, you'll be on your way to winning tickets in the front row for Mumford & Sons. Call now. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. We would like you to join us Thursday night at the Roxy to see a little band called U2 performing live. You cannot buy tickets to this show. You can only win them. We will tell you when to call in, but it won't be too long from right now coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I think about this a lot, Kevin. What's going to happen to all the AM radio towers in this country? Because it's getting harder and harder to get people to even go to that dial on a radio.
Right.
You know, anyone under 40 didn't even grow up with AM being a thing in most places in this country. So why would they ever even think to go to AM? You know, at least in Southern California, we go to KNX for traffic or whatever. But a lot of places, there's nothing on the AM. So if a lot of people are looking for new ways to make money, new formats on that. And I think we've come up with one. I think the time has come, particularly in a place like Colorado, where marijuana is legal, for this radio station to exist.
The sound of talk radio is changing in Southern Colorado. And let's just say the notes, well, they're a little bit higher.
KI 1580 is the first publicly licensed radio station in Colorado dedicated to all aspects of marijuana. So the question is, why do this?
The answer to that is why not?
An extension of SoCo Radio, it currently offers three live shows throughout the day with studio guests, interviews, and discussion about education, awareness, and entertainment of marijuana.
The stereotype that's out there about current marijuana users and the culture itself, about, you know, people think that marijuana users are a bunch of just lazy, hey bro, kind of people, and we just want to add some intelligence and some awareness on what the culture is really like.
The program director for K-High 1580 Weed Radio is named Len Williams, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Williams.
Hey, bro.
Well, Len, congratulations on K-High 1580. You guys have created quite a bit of publicity there in Colorado.
Yeah, man. You know, a lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to all the AM towers in the country.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. Those people are dumb.
I've heard that as well. Well, you gotta come up with something different, something they can't get on FM if you
right,
want people to check
man.
You out.
That's why here with SoCo Radio, that stands for Southern California. No, Colorado.
Colorado, right.
We got K-High, man.
K-High.
1580 on your AM dial. Mm-hmm. Hey, come listen to K-High, the station that calls itself K-High.
It's quite a slogan.
Yeah, we like it.
So does it get monotonous at all? I mean, is it hour after hour of just discussing weed, or is that topic so broad that you never run out of ways to talk about it?
No, man, we could talk about it all the time. It's amazing. The more you smoke, the more you can talk about it.
Right.
And we got some great personalities on the show, from what I'm being told.
The Wake and Bake Morning Show host.
Yeah, Wake and Bake, because that's a thing that people do,
right,
man. And it's pot related.
Right. That guy's name is David Diablo Rodriguez.
Yeah. I really should get two guys called Wake and Bake, I think,
yeah,
to do that
show.
Oh,
there you go. That's a show.
Instead of Diablo. Doesn't make any sense at all, man. Hold on a second.
Oh. That's legal, I guess.
Now it makes sense.
You've got the High Noon with Bubba Cushman show.
High Noon! I just got that!
And then the High Drive at 5 is your afternoon show. Apparently, you're
come up with this stuff.
Well,
you know, people say to me all the time.
What do they say to you, Len?
Len, you talk radio is hard, man, because it's just people talking. Why don't you play some music?
Right.
Okay, hi. And I said, what kind of music would we play? Pot music. Pot music. Talk about pot music.
I believe we're going to have to put you in our file.
I think so, Len. Looks like we'll be talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
I'm so stoked.
Greg Fitzsimmons coming in the 8 o'clock hour. Fletcher passes for Get Hard.
The Land Dog and the Fitz Dog hanging out together today's show.
Is it going to be a dog off?
Dog off.
I don't know how that works, but maybe. Ross tried to kill his wife. Now,
will you stop it? See, it's that kind of loose lip talk that just starts rumors.
You were telling us a story in the office.
Yes.
And it involved pushing your wife off the roof.
It involved
did it
nothing,
or did it not,
nothing
sir.
Of the kind. It involved my wife and I teaming up, as all good married couples should, to make their lives better. And so we pooled our resources, and we were quite successful.
Was your wife on the roof?
Of course she was.
Were you?
No. She was dangling on the roof. I was supporting her by holding on to the rope that held her.
No.
All
it
right.
wasn't rope.
We didn't have any rope.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the... He didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it, yeah. That's for sure.
He used an extension cord. Carrie, are you okay?
Stop it.
Carrie.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Carrie.
My lovely wife, Carrie.
Do you need help?
I'm surprisingly okay.
Okay. So why were you on
the heavy-duty extension cord? It wasn't one of those flimsy ones you plug your stereo into. This was the one you put your hedge trimmer into. Mm-hmm. Big orange heavy-duty extension cord.
Take me back to the conversation between both of you where you were like, one of us has to go up. Who's it going to be?
And why are you going on the roof, first of all?
All right. Let's start from the beginning,
right,
honey. We have a problem with rodents.
Okay.
We have roof rats. And roof rats, for those of you who aren't familiar with them, are a pain in the ass, especially these, because we have fruit trees. Our neighbor has fruit trees, and there's palm trees around. And this is like the perfect storm for roof rats. And they come on our roof, and we have a Spanish-tiled roof with the semicircle terracotta tiles.
Right.
And they like to get under those tiles for warmth and to hang out and to chill. And we hear them in our roof scratching around above our bed at night while we're trying to sleep.
Okay.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, so that drives you crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've taken...
How long has this been happening?
I don't know. Carrie, how long have we been dealing with this?
2 months.
2 months.
2 months, all right.
And we've been taking every possible step. We've called every kind of professional. We've had roofers come out and put cement in under every possible orifice they can find in the roof. And it's just, they've done it all. We've done everything we can, and we still hear them.
And we're $5,000 in.
Oh,
professionals. These are professionals who have helped us with our roof rat.
All right, so the conversation about which of you goes on the roof.
Well, I finally decide that I've had enough, and I'm going to stop them from getting to our abode.
Right.
Which I'm guessing they get in through the power line or the cable line or the telephone line. So what I've done is I've purchased these large discs that they use on boats. And you put it on the mooring rope of a boat so that the rats can't get from the dock or the wharf to the boat.
Oh, interesting.
It's a big, disc that you put on top of the rope, and it's like it blocks them
so they
being able to crawl up the rope.
They can't pass.
I think to myself, ah, ha, ha, If it works for boats, it'll work for a house. And think rope, just think high-voltage power line. That's all. And so I say, someone's got to get out there on the roof and get it done.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'll go. I volunteered. I said, I'll go.
Carrie, is that true?
No.
Come on. I said, I'll go. And my wife said, your big fat ass will break all our tiles. And we just had them replaced.
That part I did say.
Yes.
Okay.
So she had to go. She was the only choice. She's petite. She's light. She's small. She can get out there without breaking the tiles.
Okay, now.
And I'm burly and strong, and I can hold her up with an extension cord.
Yeah, with an extension cord.
Now,
was there a second carry where you went, I'll do it, but I'd rather have a rope than an extension cord?
No, the extension cord was my idea, actually.
See? There you
go.
Because here's what happened. I get home from school with Olivia. Ralph is sitting on the couch, and he says, I'm so tired, I can't even nap because of those rats.
Yeah.
And I said, well, when are we going to put those discs on the lines? And he goes, well, babe, I don't know. I'm busy. I have to go to the hardware store and get a rope. And I said, let's just use an extension cord and get up there and do it.
Wow.
Wow.
She was
and Ralph
motivated.
Says, what about the kid? And I said, well, take her up there, too.
Nobody was there to watch the kids. We did have our four-year-old up on the roof with us.
Wait.
What?
That's a joke.
No, she was up there. But it's a flat roof, and then there's a big soffit, like a three-foot-tall soffit.
Carrie, you took your kid up there?
It's a flat roof.
I don't care.
It's like Mary Poppins. She loved it.
We gave her an umbrella.
We made smoke steps.
Oh, wait, she has a front row seat when mommy dies. That's a terrible plan. All right, so you go up there. You're on the roof with Olivia. Then what?
That I lower my wife out onto the inclined part of the roof.
Oh, my God.
Where the shingles are.
Hey, babe, you're forgetting the part about where you told me to put on rubber gloves since I was touching a live power line.
I did suggest insulated rubber gloves.
What's happening?
So that, well, I said, don't touch the line. Just ease the disc over the line and then close the latch on it.
Can you put it on without touching the line?
You absolutely can.
Okay.
But just in case.
And
I said, you should take these insulated rubber gloves, just in case you get
near
the high
voltage
power line. That would help
her not be electrocuted?
Of course, Allie.
Rubber gloves?
Yes.
Come on.
Carrie, that seemed like a good plan to you, the gloves?
It did until I actually got out there.
Uh-huh.
And I did touch the line, by the way. I kind of had to. So just so you all know, you can go home, climb on your roof, and touch your power line, and you won't die.
I don't know.
We don't
that's
recommend that.
I don't
that,
think
though.
That's legally. I don't think we would say that to anyone.
Leave it to the professionals. Get a professional lineman to do this kind of work for you.
Hey, Carrie.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch Dateline?
Allie's convinced this is some sort of elaborate insurance scam on my part to get to off you and cash in.
I'm concerned, Carrie.
Did Ralph just change his life insurance policy on you?
We don't have one on me, actually.
Or
we only have one on him.
Yeah,
do you
so
now?
If anybody's in danger, it's me.
So has it helped?
You know, I think it has. I didn't hear them last night.
I didn't either.
But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to come back. I mean, this has happened before where they're gone for a few nights and then they're back.
Yeah.
And it was like sleep deprivation. I think that's why I made such a poor decision of going onto the roof, because I'm desperate to have a good night's sleep in my own bed.
We are desperate.
Look, not getting sleep is one of the worst things.
The house is quiet in here. And we thought maybe it's in the ceiling. God, please let it be in the ceiling so that we can put traps or poison or something in there and get them. But they came out and said, no, they're actually under your tiles in the roof. They're not in the house, so we can't do anything for you.
Cut to 10 years from now, Olivia's on the roof going, no, my mom and dad did it. It's perfectly fine.
This is where we hang out.
Yeah. What we do.
This is the Garmin party.
No, we don't need a rope. Just get an extension cord.
Hey, give me some rubber gloves. I'm going to start swinging on the power lines.
Oh, dear.
I think you're in danger, Carrie.
She's not in danger. Danger.
Well, you know what? Sense. I will keep my heads up next time Ralph asks me to
do something
crazy.
Like go on a hike or a cruise.
She did a great job, by the way. She did three lines. Three lines. They're all disced up. And our house is now secure from the roof rats. That's the kind of wife I have.
You are bad decision makers.
We're gymnasts.
Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. All right. Have a good day.
Bye, honey.
Bye now.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Thanks so much for tuning in. It is the Showbiz Beat live each and every hour. We have been for the past couple of weeks while the boys have been off gallivanting. wreaking havoc, getting up to shenanigans and tomfoolery. But we've been here for you. I do want to remind you, as we head into this holiday weekend, first and foremost, be safe. Take care of yourself. Don't blow your fingers off with fireworks. Do not drink and drive under any circumstances, because you will spill your drink. Trust me, I've been there. And also, tonight at 5 p.m., it starts the Firecracker 500. We are playing the top 500 K-Rock tunes for you, our beloved listeners, all weekend long, so you can party along with us here at K-Rock. That's tonight at 5 p.m. And speaking of tonight, I think there's a buddy of mine's got something going on. Speaking of shenanigans, Mr. Smith?
Good morning, Mr. Gorman. How are you?
I'm well, sir. You know him, of course, an actor, director, podcaster, writer, lover, fighter. Number 37 on the ice, number one in your heart, Mr. Kevin Smith. Welcome, sir.
That was like the greatest intro of all time.
Well, it's the least I could do for you.
Hey, it's not even my day. Let's not celebrate me. Let's celebrate Mr. Jason Mewes is having his 5-year sober birthday today.
I am so proud of that guy.
He was able to put it behind him. A lot of people are like, he must not be funny. He's way funnier 5 years in. But he had the problems with the OxyContin and the heroin and, yeah, and the cocaine and the meth. Oh, heavens, you name it, he had a problem with it. But today we celebrate him being 5 years sober. So we got that Jay and Silent Bob Get Old podcast.
Right.
We're going to do it at the Improv tonight, 10 o'clock, celebrate Jay.
If you guys have never heard it, Kevin and Jay do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, another one of Kevin's podcasts, which is just, it's entertaining, it's inspiring, it's funny, it's poignant, it's always a great time, and to see it live, it's a great opportunity tonight. They're doing it at the Improv on Melrose at 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and your info.
But more importantly, me and Ralph are going to be on your YouTube this weekend, kids.
Yeah, against my better judgment, we're going to do it. Take another run at this.
Ralph and I did we do a podcast called Hollywood Babylon. We did a live streaming version of it on YouTube, and boy, was it streaming, about 2 weeks ago. And Ralph just sat there and drank a full pitcher of margaritas like he was your bitter drunk uncle, and then just let it loose all over his Hollywood betters. It was amazing watching the man implode on camera. We're going to do it again on Sunday night.
Now, I showed up two pitchers in. Because
do the same. That's the recipe for the win, dude.
Because it was Father's Day, and so we had gone out for Mexican food, and I had gotten pretty juiced, and then I remembered, oh, Kevin and I are supposed to do this live streaming thing on YouTube, on his YouTube channel. So I show up with a pitcher because I was afraid I would start to sober up and maybe get a little hungover-ish mid-show, and that can't happen. So I just kept power drinking, and I got sloppy and embarrassing. I can't even watch that video.
Oh, it's phenomenal, dude. Everyone on Twitter is just like, that's the show! So you gotta get hammered, get your butt in an Uber car, and then come over, and we do it Sunday night, I think, what, 8 o'clock? What time does your kid go to bed? We got to wait till your kid goes to bed.
I think you said 9, I think, this week.
All right, 9 o'clock. So 9 o'clock, late night show,
yes,
man.
But let me address that. That was the problem I didn't get to, is the next morning, Monday morning, at 5 a.m. when I roll into here, there was not a good look on me. It was not a good world.
I'm going to try to make it go 6-7 hours so you could just go to K-Rock after the live stream.
I'm thinking maybe what I should do to avoid a hangover is to do our very special long-promised episode where I partake of your substance of choice as opposed to alcohol. Maybe I'll just get baked and see what happens.
Oh, just smoke weed every day, as they say, Ralph.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it right online so people could watch. It's Sunday night, 9 o'clock on our YouTube channel. It's called C-Smod.
And tonight, of course, at the Improv on Melrose, it's Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes with Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. You have any plans for the big holiday weekend, sir? You're going out of town, aren't you?
I go to Montreal to do a show on July 3rd, so July 4th I'll probably just be traveling back. I'll be in the air, fingers crossed, and praying that America enjoys a safe, happy 4th of July.
Well, thanks for calling in, buddy. It's always good to talk to you. I will see you Sunday night when we do this live show, and hope for the best.
And if everyone wants to see you drunk, tune in, man. It's going to be amazing, amazing.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. Miss you.
Miss you.
All right, buddy.
Love you. Bye.
Take care. Good man, that Kevin Smith. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. This is going to make my wife very happy. E! Entertainment has announced they're renewing their plastic surgery reality series, Botched, for a third season. If you're not familiar, it's where they take people who have just ruined themselves with plastic surgery. Just nightmare, horror story plastic surgery where things have gone horribly wrong. And what they do is they try to fix them.
And it'll make you feel better about yourself. Anyway, Botched returning for a third season on E.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake, fake, fake.
And it's working for her. Speaking of television news, they are bringing back an old movie called Fatal Attraction. It starred Glenn Close and Michael Douglas back in the day. Fox has announced they're going to do a limited episode series, limited run series of a reboot of that story. Here's the thing. Fatal Attraction, it's not that old a film, 1987, I want to say. But it became a cultural phenomenon. Everybody knew. The Fatal Attraction became part of our lexicon. You would say, oh, it's this girlfriend I'm dating, it's turned into a total fatal attraction. I mean, everybody knows the plot. Everybody knows the plot twist. The thing about that film when you went to see it was you started to get creeped out and unaware that she was starting slowly to lose her mind and that she was going to, spoilers, boil a rabbit on the stove. You know what I mean? So if you're watching the series, you're not going to be surprised by what happens. You're going to see it coming. You know how the thing turns out, right? Where's the drama? Where's the drama? As my grandma used to say, where's the drama? I don't know. Maybe they know what they're doing more so than me. I'm on the radio. What do I know? Movie news. This is completely unnecessary. The Monopoly movie is in the works. That's right. You heard me. Monopoly from Hasbro, the board game, is going to be turned into a major motion picture. I'm not denying the success of the film. I am just questioning the need for a movie version based on that. Is it just going to be some walking around a neighborhood, just buying homes on Park Place and Ventnor Avenue? It's all going to be different when I run Hollywood. You know, we were talking about plastic surgery. I forgot to mention the story of Herbert Chavez, one of my favorites. He is a gentleman who has undergone 23 surgeries to look like Superman. He's 37 years old. He's had nose jobs, liposuction, skin whitening. I believe he's of Hispanic heritage. Fillers, jaw work. Over the last 18 years, he has slowly been trying to turn himself into Superman. Well, the plastic surgery is starting to go bad. And now he has unnatural lumps all over his body. I have two unnatural lumps in my pants, but they're God-given. These are surgically created. And now, doctors say if he continues with his augmentation, he might die. Superman wouldn't want that. Herbert Chavez, my advice, get back to the Fortress of Solitude and play with your cats. He apparently has the world's largest Superman memorabilia collection. Who would collect all that stuff for a superhero and have a huge collection like that? What sort of maniac lives a life like that?
Ralph?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you have a huge Batman collection?
What? Oh, thanks, kids. You're too nice. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, July the 2nd. Margot Robbie, she's 25 years old today. I guess we first were exposed to her, if you'll pardon the verbiage, Wolf of Wall Street, right? Is that when we first met her? She's a beautiful Australian actress, soon to be seen as Harley Quinn in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie with Jared Leto as the Joker. 25 years old today. Lindsay Lohan, who said recently that she wants to become a British citizen. And Britain said, no, thank you. Please keep it there in the States. Ashley Tisdale is 30 years old today. Michelle Branch turns 32. Jose Canseco, at one time, one of the biggest names in pro baseball. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think he shot his finger off, didn't he? Didn't he recently shoot his finger off?
Yeah.
He's not having a good retirement. And Larry David, of course, one of the creators of Seinfeld, you know, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's an actor, a producer, a writer, director. A guy can do it all. And still seems very, very unhappy. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What happened last week? I was out sick, and then all of a sudden, lightning's coming in, and he's like, wants to fight Christine. What's going on?
Essentially, yeah, that's what's going on here, Kevin. Christine showed up one day at work, and she was just in tears, and mascara just run down her face. And we're like, oh, honey bunny, what's going on? And she's like, lightning's mean. And we're like, what happened? So you've recovered a little bit now. You've got your composure back, Christine. How did you get attacked online by somebody who you considered a friend and a colleague?
Like a long-term friend. Somebody who, yes, like, I really like. I know his family. Mm-hmm. So I...
New, by the way, new. Go ahead.
I had gone to the YouTube show at the Roxy. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I thought, gosh, I should take some video to post on Instagram just because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I thought, this is a fun thing to share with people on social media. So I took a bunch of it, and then at the end, I realized I had some pretty good video because, mm-hmm, just the sound was good. The video, not great because I'm short, but...
So you're looking at people's butts, but you can hear the band
right,
pretty well.
Right, totally. But I thought, you know, I bet a couple of my friends who are also big YouTube fans would love to see this. So I quickly edited it together. Never done this before on iMovie. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a fun video. Just, you know, a little amateur thing. So Lightning happens to walk in the office at that exact time, and I say, hey, Jay, just because he was there, and this is what he do, right?
Yeah. Right.
So I said, hey, when you shoot something on iMovie, do you, you know, just kind of a technical question, like, do you do this? And he looked at me, took one look at my video on my phone, and literally... It was like the gates of hell opened up. You would have thought I might have murdered a puppy. Like, that's how angry he was at me because the video I took was square because of Instagram.
Before we talk to you, Lightning, Christine is the nicest person in the world.
Sure, yeah.
So you show up. You've got a lot of energy on this topic already, clearly.
I did. I would take a bullet for Christine. Like, she watches my kids like this is...
Right.
But I just...
Until that day.
Blew a gasket.
Until that day, right. Yeah. Now she's dead to you. So the problem is when somebody holds their phone up, they normally look at it in a vertical way and they shoot the video in a vertical way. And then when it gets posted in most ways on the internet, it has black bands on both sides of the photo.
Rather than
turning it horizontal and filling the full frame like you would if you were looking at a TV or a movie screen.
Yes. Drives me completely mad.
Right, hold right there. Yeah. Hold right there.
Okay.
Why?
Why does it drive me mad?
Can I answer this question?
Okay. So yes, Christine, please.
In the process of our conversation... Mm. Lightning said a couple of things that were so amazing that I literally wrote them down. I brought notes.
Yeah, bring it. Go for it.
He says to me, I asked him, first of all, why do you care? Mm-hmm. You know, why does this matter to you? And he said, because it has been decided by the government and people who decide these things that we as a society watch videos vertically.
No, horizontally.
Excuse me. Yeah. Horizontally. And so I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, the deciders decided that we can only watch videos
horizontally. I've never heard Lightning or anybody else I know argue the standpoint of government.
Yeah. It has been decided in society.
So, look, we have agreed as a society, as a group of engineers,
right, sure.
that video is best displayed in a horizontal format. Right?
Sure. Right. Now let me ask you, Christine.
Specifically, 69.
Is that true? Do you watch TV and movies in a horizontal fashion?
Yes, but if you are on social media and you're on Instagram, shooting a video vertically allows you to post it better on Instagram because you have the left and right margins already set, right?
Yes.
And if you use things like Snapchat, it's all vertical now.
Sure. Let's not even get into Aaron Spiegel and his BS Snapchat, all right? Let's not go there.
Right.
This is about... not cutting off the periphery. There's so much information on the left and the right. We all have two eyes. We see to the left and the right.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So you walk in and you see Christine did it that way.
Yes.
She's perfectly happy with it.
Yes.
Okay. How much can you care?
No, I care a lot.
Because it's not your video.
But here's the thing.
You didn't shoot it.
Here's the thing.
You didn't shoot it to go on YouTube. She didn't shoot it to
go on YouTube. Hear my thing, Kevin. So she shot this video for the sole purpose of sharing it with friends.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Now, the platform she chose that moment was Instagram.
Which is what she chooses all the time. Great.
But you should always shoot in the best quality possible for archival. Like, you should just... Kevin, you're never going to know when you shoot something that TMZ may want. You're never going to...
What are you... Who's at a cool event that goes, maybe Harvey will want this?
If you want to show your family later on your big screen TV, you want to show people on your computer, you want to show people the full frame.
Instagram?
She won't just be on Instagram. That video she will keep on her phone and she'll reference it later at some point as a square. Right. So why not fill the frame with as much information as you can get?
So I asked him, back same question, I said, Jay, why do you care so much about how I shot this video? Why does it matter to you? And in like a guttural, like shaky voice, like deep, deep delivery, he goes.
Seen him this way. He's about to lose it.
Because someone has to care.
Yes. Like, someone does have to care.
All right, me. May I ask you a question here, Mr. Lightning? And by the way, I'm Team Lightning on this. I hate vertical videos. Every week when we do an internet roundup,
it drives me
crazy how many of the videos are vertical. I hate it, okay? But Christine makes
how
a good point. If she's shooting for Instagram and it looks better on Instagram, that makes sense to me. And if she had shot it the way you want it, which is horizontally, then what does she do when she wants to put that YouTube video up on Instagram?
Yeah, so Instagram allows you to import videos. So you can shoot it in horizontally
right.
in 16:9, and then just click the import button and bring that into Instagram, and it automatically crops the left and the right. It does the same thing as if she had held her phone incorrectly vertically.
So much harder to arbitrarily, when you're looking at your phone, figure out what the parameters on the left and right are versus top and bottom. It's just easier.
But I will
and
say
why
this.
Does it matter?
I could get you a set of horse blinders and that would help you. If you only saw right in front of you, would that help?
Lightning
it
and
might.
Bean.
Because
for both of you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How much can you care?
Look, there were 89.5 million computers sold in the U.S. last year, 30 million televisions.
Okay.
And none of them were vertical.
Right?
Right?
And?
So don't shoot vertical video.
How much can you care?
I
how
care
is your entire life wrapped up in how Christine shot video at the U2 show?
One video.
It's not. But I'm at U2 as well, and I'm seeing all these people hold up their phones vertically, and I thought, that's going to show up on YouTube with two black bars.
Right.
Why?
Okay, hold on right there. How bad is that?
Because then I only get Bono. I want the edge, and I want, you know, I want the whole band. Give me the whole periphery. I don't just want a sliver.
All right, Bean, to you, how bad is that vertical video with the bars on the sides? Because
it's terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's like you're looking at 30% of a screen.
Yes.
That's what it's like. It's like you're missing two-thirds of whatever was happening in front of you. And that just doesn't make sense. If what Lightning is saying is true, that you can shoot it horizontally and then easily import it to Snapchat or Instagram and have it appear vertically as you choose, that just seems like
it's,
a win. That seems
not
like the way to go.
Easy,
it is
it's
that
not.
Easy.
It's time-consuming.
It's one
you're in
click.
The moment. You just want to do it that way. Just
then you're just being, then you're saying, all right, my excuse is laziness because I couldn't do that one extra click.
Or we don't care.
You should care.
Look,
no.
You should care.
No. I can look at this argument from behind and go, all right, well, he has a point. It would probably be better if all video were that way.
Right.
Okay. So what?
I think you're looking at it from a point of everything you do, you want it to go viral. You want the clicks. You want that from a work standpoint.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
All right, that's
so
your job.
Let's look back. So everyone has those videos shot when they were a kid, and they look back at them like, wow, that is crappy quality. I'm glad I have the video, but boy, I wish it didn't have the grain, or I wish it wasn't shot the way it was, or wish my parents had a better camera. So start with the best quality video you can, because you're going to want this stuff later. And if you don't, you hit delete. But if you want to save it, you're like, oh, good, I saved the full frame. I saved
right.
as
I'm
much
as I can. I'm not
saying
that's not probably the right? best way to do it. How much can you care?
Let's talk to Juan
you know?
Real quick.
I'm sorry.
Juan is streaming the show. He's on board this morning from Fresno, California, and he's on line one to weigh in with a comment. Juan, thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
I have to agree with Lightning. I recently got proposed. I proposed myself. I apologize. And my
you proposed to yourself?
Yeah.
Did you say yes?
Yes, chucklehead. I proposed to my fiance. My sister-in-law recorded it.
Right.
He had the audacity to record it horizontal and vertical. You have no idea how that drives me nuts.
So she killed her,
right?
She did both ways.
You murdered her.
She killed me. It just hurts me to show the video now.
Like, yeah, it's video. Rough. It can be rough.
That's so sad. A beautiful moment ruined by that video.
Why don't you delete that and re-propose to your girlfriend and shoot it right?
Do it the right way.
There you go. Thank you, Juan. Good luck. Let's do one more. This is Jim. He's in L.A. He's weighing in with an opinion as well. Jim, thank you for calling the Kevin Beach Show. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Sorry if the reception's kind of bad.
No worries.
I want to get something straight about this whole technical thing. First of all, it's not vertical and horizontal if you want to be technical. It's portrait and landscape.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We got it.
Yes, and how does that make a difference to the discussion?
Because you're talking about how technical people want it this way and how the millions of TVs were sold. Well, in the studios, we don't call them TVs. First of all, we call them monitors.
Okay. All right. Thanks for nothing, Jim.
Here's what I want to say.
Right. Lightning.
Jim is you.
No. Listen, yeah. I have a public service announcement.
All TVs are 16:9. And so you should shoot it that way.
Yeah,
should.
It is true, and you probably should.
Just, guys, people, don't be lazy. And listen, iPhone built, you know what, when you hold an iPhone, it's got the up and down volume.
Yes.
The up volume also triggers video, and so if you turn it sideways, you can hold it like an old school camera and shoot video horizontally. Or landscape,
what
as our friend on the phone would like
hand?
To say. You can still hold it with one hand and press the button. Yes, you can. Well, then
what if you have a drink in both hands?
Well, then you're shooting video.
What if you don't have hands?
That's a good point, Alan.
Right? Thank you.
I have a PSA that I would like to play for Christine about what I like to call vertical video syndrome.
Say no to vertical videos.
Vertical videos happen when you hold your camera the wrong way. Your video will end up looking like crap.
There are two different kinds of people who are afflicted with VVS. The first group treats the videos they shoot like pictures. They don't mean any harm. They just don't understand that while you can turn a picture, you can't really turn a video.
The other group is people who don't give a sh**.
See? Just don't give an S. And you should.
Okay. All right. Oh, God. I can't
Good
even.
Chat. You go someplace else.
Less than 1 hour from right now, we will ask you to call in to win your tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2015. It's coming up on Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at noon with proceeds benefiting the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Great lineup. Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias and Ralphie May and Adam Ray and Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by DJ Mike Realm. This is the seventh year in a row we've done April Foolishness, and it's a fun event. That's a good night, isn't it?
It really is. It's always
that
fun.
That is good night, and it will sell out. So tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon, and you can win them coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock.
Speaking of buying tickets, the Grateful Dead are doing some more shows. How about that?
This was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, obviously they have slowed down quite a bit since, I don't know, their lead singer died. But they are back. They're saying goodbye after 50 years as a band. They came out with a little bit of a surprise announcement for We Dead fans a couple of weeks ago where they said that they are going to go out in style by playing three nights at Soldier Field in Chicago over July 4th weekend. They hired Trey Anastasio from the band Fish to fill in for Jerry, and they're going to be doing basically a tribute to him and a farewell to the fans after a long, long, long career. I love the Dead. Kevin, did you ever see them? Did you ever get a chance to see them? You never did. Allie, how about you?
No.
No interest, or just could never go?
Just zero interest for me.
No interest, and my brother went to Humboldt State, so I got my fill of those people.
Yeah. You got secondhand Dead?
Yes, I am still high.
I love them. I saw them, I don't know, 30 times over the course of the years. I used to go to Vegas every summer to go see them when they played
insane.
The Las Vegas
Bowl. News to you, Kevin?
That is insane.
I've saw them for years. I love them. Musically, they are great. And I know it's easy for people to make fun of this traveling circus around the Dead. I know it's easy to make fun of, you know, the people you perceive as hippies. But musically, they're an outstanding band. I'm not likely to be going to this show because tickets are going for about $9,000 online right now because they sold out instantly when they went on sale. But there's a great deal of interest in this. A lot of people are really, really excited about it. Now, we asked Dave, hey, could you find out more about it? And he lined up for us the manager of the Grateful Dead, Nick Cumberland, is on the phone with us right now. Mr. Cumberland, welcome to the show, sir. Nick?
What's up, man?
We had an interview scheduled with you. It's Kevin and Bean, K-Rock Radio.
Sir. Yeah, right. I remember.
Okay, all right.
How's it going, guys? You're in Los Angeles, right?
Yes, right. That's right, sir.
Oh, that's awesome. I bet the weather there is great.
It actually is pretty great.
Oh, you guys are so lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in Burbank.
What?
Well, you're just you get the same weather. It's just over the hill.
Oh.
Yeah.
That dawned on me.
So, Nick, let's talk about these Chicago shows. We heard some news yesterday. The show this summer, 4th of July weekend with the Dead.
The Dead? The Dead are playing? Where are I going to get tickets?
You're the manager for the Grateful Dead. This must have been consuming you for the past few weeks.
No, but I haven't been busy for a while. Jerry won't return my calls.
Yeah, he's
he's unavailable.
He's otherwise occupied.
Right, so I'm surprised you're doing shows in Vegas. That's awesome.
No, it's not in Atlanta. It's in Chicago.
Field. Chicago's in Vegas?
No. They're playing Soldier Field 3 days in a row.
Oh, wow, man. That's a bummer. Soldiers, military complex, right? You with me?
Nope. It's a football stadium. It's where the Bears play.
Their Bears play football?
Okay.
That sounds dangerous, man. Do they play other animals or like people?
Let's just talk about the shows here, Nick. So
maybe less.
Yeah, maybe less of that, I think. You okay?
Yeah. So all right. We're going to watch Bears play football, right?
No, we're going to see the Grateful Dead at Soldier Field.
The Grateful Dead are playing at Soldier Field?
Yes, they are, yeah.
How much are tickets?
Well, I mean, they already sold out. The list price tickets were $60 to $200, but they're gone now. And now it's just a very brisk aftermarket. People are asking for, you know, $10,000 for some of these seats.
Right, yeah, okay.
No, seriously.
What?
Yeah.
$10,000?
I know, because people want to see the Dead for one last time, I guess.
Dude, these people don't have money for pants. Where are they coming up with this kind of money for tickets?
Well, I'm sure they have fans all over the world of various incomes.
Dude, there's no way I can afford that.
You're their manager. You don't have to afford that.
Wait a minute. I know their manager. Maybe I can get tickets from him.
So, Nick, we heard yesterday on the show that Chicago PD is not going to allow Grateful Dead fans to camp out. You guys must be disappointed about that.
Yeah, because, first of all, what's a Grateful Dead show if you're not camping out, right?
For a lot of people, yeah, that's part of the experience. It's like tailgating at a football game.
That's right. You gotta just get in the van with a cloud of stink around you.
Uh-huh.
And you gotta make falafels.
Right.
And then, you know, you gotta hang out with other deadheads.
Uh-huh.
Try to remember the past 50 years and fail.
Right.
But, you know, we're gonna manage because, like Jerry said, what the hell did he say?
What did Jerry say?
Keep on trucking, man.
Keep on trucking.
Right, keep on trucking.
Is that Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, keep on trucking. What's that mean, do you know?
It's 9:46 here on the world-famous K-Rock, KROQ-FM, 106.7. You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean, and you have chosen wisely. Thank you so much for being here with me all week long, all last week. We've been having a blast hanging out and bringing you Showbiz Beat live. Come on back on Monday morning. Kevin and Bean will be back in the studio. I think, at least Bean, I think, will be back in the studio. I think Kevin will be watching soccer. But we're going to have all live show on Monday, and we'll be talking about what we did over the long weekend. I got some plans, and I can't talk about them now, but maybe on Monday we'll talk about what's going on. And don't forget, tonight, starting at 5 p.m., it is the Firecracker 500, where we take your favorite 500 K-Rock songs and play them back to you. In order of lovability, the one you love the most will be number one. See, everyone's giving me a hard time. I'm just pulling back the curtain a little bit here, Beer Mug. Everyone's giving me a hard time saying I'd forgotten about Olivia Munn's birthday. But she's born
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So they're wrong.
We're wrong. So wrong. Back off, Olivia Munn fans. Get your facts straight. All right, let's talk about the showbiz news. Dukes of Hazzard. Them Dukes. Being pulled from television was one thing for the General Lee to disappear. Kind of understood that. They didn't want to sell merchandise with the Confederate flag on it, as the General Lee had on its roof, considering all the controversy around that flag and how some people still see it as a sign of bigotry and racism. However, the TV series has never been considered more than anything sort of innocuous and silly, as far as I know. The Dukes were never overt racists, although I don't remember seeing a lot of blacks in Hazzard County. So there's that. Uncle Jesse, maybe. Uncle Jesse was probably a racist. He probably had a hood in the closet, I'm guessing, at Uncle Jesse. I never trusted him. Anyway, TV Land has pulled it from its daytime schedule. You'll no longer see the Dukes. So, it's the end of an era. By the way, you're not missing much. I tried watching one recently. It does not really hold up.
But that Daisy Duke, that's something right here.
More TV news. Suits over on the USA Network. It's just 2 weeks since it premiered its latest season, and apparently it's doing well enough with 4.3 million viewers for the premiere that the channel has picked up a sixth season of 16 episodes as well. So congratulations to everyone over there at Suits. More TV news, ABC Family, which, by the way, you know, shows that series Baby Daddy that we still don't believe exists, but they keep sending us baskets of goodies, so we keep talking about them. They've got a new series called Gorgeous Morons. Going to be starting soon. Reportedly, it is The Big Bang Theory in reverse. with a bunch of really attractive, stupid guys and one smart girl. No word on who will play the two stunningly handsome but ridiculously stupid brothers, one of whom is a model and the other one's a personal trainer. But I think you and me, Beer Mug, I think you and me could be we could be gorgeous morons.
Where do we sign?
Right there on the ABC family contract.
Done.
Lila Rich Creek apparently will be starring in the series, so that's new. And, of course, 4th of July weekend coming up. Everyone have a good time, but take care of yourselves. Thought this was fascinating. They have recently found a giant, dirty handprint in the bottom left corner of the Declaration of Independence. This is like national treasure. It's like that Nicolas Cage movie. I'm more of a treasure protector. They found fingerprints on that in that movie, and now there's a giant handprint they've discovered on the Declaration of Independence. They don't know whose it is, but they say it's not uncommon for documents like the Declaration of Independence to have been misused over the years, and now they're just realizing that there's somebody's stinky fingerprints all over it. Probably Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin eating some Tootsie Rolls or something.
M&M's. You have Tootsie Rolls back then?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Tootsie Rolls. Macy's has cut ties with Donald Trump. We've been talking about this story all day long. This guy's a bonehead, and he just made some horrible, disparaging statements about Mexican immigrants, saying that they're bringing drugs into the country and they're criminals and rapists. The controversy has caused many businesses to cut ties with him. Both NBC and Univision will no longer be in business with him. And now Macy, as we've talked about today, has cut ties with Donald Trump. He's got a menswear line of shirts and ties. They're not going to sell it anymore because, as they say, they're disappointed and distressed by his comments. They obviously don't want to be associated with a guy as overtly racist as Donald Trump. However, Trump is saying he's the one who's decided to end his relationship with Macy's. Anyway, regardless, no matter how it shakes out, no more Donald's menswear will be sold at the store. Apparently, they are being sold, what they have left is being sold at a heavy discount. Here's the thing, the Trump Signature Collection, this is the reason I bring it up. This is the latest information I got from many listeners, and I appreciate that. Did a little research, and it turns out to be true. Where do you think Trump's Signature Collection is made? Beer Mug, have any guess what country it's manufactured in?
Oh, starts with an M, ends with an O.
Hecho en Mexico. Yeah. Amigo. So Donald apparently is not above using the Mexican workforce when it suits his needs. Don't you think if you're going to be an a-hole that you would at least watch your back, you would at least find out some facts so you don't seem like a complete douchebag?
So that proves that he's stupid, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot that proves that he's stupid. This means he's stupider than even we thought. Today's celebrity birthdays, Margot Robbie, 25 years old today. Lindsay Lohan, 29 years old today. Ashley Tisdale is 30. Michelle Branch is 32. Jose Canseco, 51 years old today. Actor, producer, director, writer, Larry David, turned 68. Thanks for hanging out with me for the past couple of weeks while Kevin and Bean have been on vacation. We're back with an all-live new show on Monday after the long holiday weekend. Take care of yourselves. Most importantly, have a good time. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.